I was the best at cleaning the back of the toilet.
You got in there?
Yeah, I used to, because like, all you got to do is just mop it out. You know,
I never got on
my knees. Never did that.
You'd mop the toilet?
Yeah, I just mopped the bottom. And mad bleach. All I used was bleach. If you use bleach, everybody thinks you're cleaning something. I'm telling you.
Dirty deeds, I'm the king. Dirty deeds, I'm the king. Dirty deeds, I'm the king. Dirty deeds and the dumb dirt cheap. Oh. Dirty deeds and the dumb dirt cheap.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Welcome to Ari Shapiro's Skeptic Tank. I'm in a great mood. I'm in a great fucking mood. Well, before I get going too much, I got a sponsor this week, you guys. Sattva Mattresses. If you listen to Tom Segura's podcast and Christina Pazitsky's, Your Mom's House, they have been doing a campaign for these Sattva Mattresses, and Tom and Christina swear by it. So, here's the deal. There's no more showrooms, no more any of that. Like everything in life, they're just doing fucking order it online. Do you know you can't order a car? Like Tesla wants to make it so that you can order a car directly from Tesla.com. Right? I mean, that's where the future's going. You pick up some shoes on Amazon, you have them sent to you. You know your size. So they want to do it with a car too. You can test drive if you want, but like pick out all the details of the car that you want. And then just order it. Have it come to you. But you know why they can't do that? Because it's illegal. You got to go through a dealer system. They won't allow you to buy a car. By they, the United States government. And I don't know why. People say like, well, it's to protect the dealer's jobs. But it's like the dealer, we don't need to protect that job. You don't need to protect the shoe salesman's jobs. But cars make a lot of money, and I think they have lobbyists, and so they don't want you going directly to the website and doing it. Tesla wants to. It makes sense. Tesla's the future. But, you know, innovation gets held back by people who refuse to let it move. So you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to buy a Tesla straight from the website. You have to pay a dealer an overcharge. And my friend was like, well, you know, these jobs, people are going to be out of a job. You're like, yeah, but they'll be out of a job as opposed to everyone else paying $1,000 more for their car than they have to. Fuck that job. And nobody needs that service. Why is that job? If no one needs your service, your job's not still around. That's the end of it. It's going away. Same thing with cab drivers. Uber came and was like, we're going to offer a better service. And cab drivers like, well, what are we going to do for a living? It's like, I don't know. Don't be shitty. There's a better thing. You know? You can't protect it against better things coming up. Anyway, Sattva.com. It's SattvaMattresses.com. But go to. Don't do that. Here's an easier website. It's SmarterBed.com. SmarterBed.com. Fuck, I think I said SmartBed. It is SmarterBed.com. Please go to that, smarterbed.com. Oh, I'm so bad at this shit. But seriously, go there. Smarterbed.com. That's it. Smarterbed. You can pick out a mattress. I did. It's super easy to pick out. There's not many choices. It's firm. It's supposed to be like hotel level comfort, you know? So we'll see. It has like eco-friendly mattresses and stuff like that and lumbar support and some luxury foam that's on top of it. So go to smartbed.com. There's a bunch of podcasts doing this now, and the only way they can check to see if it worked with podcasts is if you put in that you heard about us, you heard about them from podcasts on the checkout. That's the only way they can make the campaign work, and they'll keep sponsoring podcasts. So do it. So I'm going to get my own Sattva mattress this week, and I'll tell you guys how they feel. But in the meantime, go to the website, smarterbed.com. Smarter. It's Sattva mattresses, but it's smarterbed.com. Order your own Sattva mattress, and you can have the same kind of sex that Tom and Christina have on a regular basis. Don't forget to tell them you found out about it on podcasts. You can say my podcast, you can say anybody's podcast, but tell them that's where you got it from. It's a way easier way to buy a mattress, you guys. It fucking takes all the hassle out. If you don't like it, they'll take it back. And they pick up your old mattress, too, for free. I'm keeping mine for Dave Smith. Let him pick it up. Comics are poor. But yeah, they'll take it out of there. They give you a 4-hour window of when they're going to drop it off. You can reschedule. Super easy. I'll tell you more about it next week. So let's start the episode. This week, we have Derek Gaines on the podcast. He told me he was a janitor. So you know how I feel about podcasts. We do two different ways, some sort of level of expertise someone has. I thought he was a school janitor. Disappointed to find out that he was not a school janitor, but we still had a pretty okay podcast about janitoring. Before we get to that, I would like to say that I have been too negative lately. You might say, no, not too negative, but it's too negative for me. Nothing exists in a vacuum. I'm sure there's more negative people around. I'm sure I've been more negative in my past, but right now where I want to be, I've been too negative. I'm in a glorious position. For some reason, I managed to skirt the system. It's not like I planned it that way, but I lived in poverty for 9 years. 9 years where I couldn't make a living in stand-up comedy. Managed to scrape by somehow. Commercials helped. Learning how to live poor really helped more than anything. I know how to do it now. And so I'm in this cool position where I don't need money. It's just not necessary. You know the way Batman went to study in like the prison for fucking a decade? That weird Ukrainian prison? Not the last one where he spent it all in a hole, but he was a convict, learned how to fight, and he came back. He could apply that. So my poverty level can really help me. I'm also in a position now where my stand-up career has been going on pretty well. I've released 2 specials and another hour on audio only. I'm moving. I'm progressing. I've got a career right now. And sometimes money comes in from that, but I don't really need it. So once in a while, I'll take that money and give it to something I believe in comedy. And I got a little bit lost. Producing that storyteller show, This Is Not Happening, took a toll on me. It was hard. It was difficult. I'm not a producer. That's not what I am. I'm a comic. You guys know that. I'm a comedian. But I'm stuck in this position of producing the show, and I want to do it the right way. And so I worked extra hard to make it done the right way, and I was happy with what came out. This Is Not Happening, both the live show at first started 5 years ago in February. We're at 5 1/4 years now. We started running it the right way. Me and Eric Abrams started running it the right way. We booked comics we liked, a mixture of like established comics, big names, and brand new people. And we ran it for years and years, and then Comedy Central wanted to do it as a web show. I should say this. Before that, they pitched it to Comedy Central, and Comedy Central said, no. And this is not a knock on them at all, but they said, nah, we like it. We like the idea, but we need a name for a host. Ralphie May or Sarah Silverman, someone like that. And defeated, as I had been from TV, I said, yeah, okay. And I told my other producers, Eric and my friend Sam Safer came on at that point. She was helping us produce it. And I was like, I get it, you guys. If you want to do that, that's fine. We'll get some other host. And they were like, nah, Ari, that's not the show. You're the host. Don't worry, we'll just keep working it as a show. We'll get it done differently. And we did for another couple of years. And then Robbie Prahl at the Montreal Comedy Festival asked us to do it as a show there a couple of years in a row. Russell Peters helped out a lot by doing the very first show we did there. I mean, that really helped it. Doing a show nobody knows about at midnight at Montreal, that everybody's partying at this point. And I asked Russell Peters if he wanted to do it, and he said, yeah. And I was like, cool, I hope it fills up. You know, it's supposed to be like a 100-seat room. It was Cleopatra, if you guys had been there. It was fucking tremendous. It's where we got the idea to just do it at a strip club. Great vibe for it. Smoky room, dingy. You go up the steps and see all the pictures of old strippers faded over the years. You got a real good vibe of like, no matter what people say in here, no matter what they say, it's fine because we're in this dark place. And I was like, hopefully it'll fill up. And Russell, I forget. He's such a nice guy, but I forget how massive he is sometimes, especially in Canada, where I call him Canadian Jesus. And he was like, yeah, Ari, if I do it, it'll fill up. I didn't realize he was doing the fucking Bell Center the next day with a fucking Maple Leafs play, selling out 20,000 people. So 100 people wouldn't be tough. And he really launched it, and we got 6 straight episodes. Bill Burr did a great one. Jay Oakerson did a great one. We did tons of them. And it started with Russell helping us out that way. We've had a lot of help from people. And some Comedy Central people came. Geordie Fox came, and then he convinced Jonas to come. And then more and more people from Comedy Central came out. They decided to do it as a web show. They're like, we really like this. Let's do it as a web show. And when I say I fight for things, it's not really fight. It's really a discussion with Comedy Central. So at first they wanted to, you know, limit all the stories to 5-6 minutes. And I said, this is when I say fight, I mean, like, I had to, like, plead for my case. But they got it. Allison Kingsley got it. She was like, okay. I was like, no, we don't have to make these 5 or 6 minutes. Normally they go 10, 12. We've had, the Alfie May one was one of the greatest stories we've ever had on the live show. No one will ever see that. No one will ever see it. About sports. It was a sports episode. And it was 22 minutes, and it was amazing. And so I was like, we can't limit these. Some of these are long. And she relented. She said, yeah, sure. Okay. And they caught on in this freestyle form. And then we did another season on the web, and that was great too. Joe Rogan did that. A few other people did it. Joey Diaz told some great stories. And then Comedy Central said, okay, we'd like to make this the first digital show that we turn into a TV show. And they did, and we made it. And it was a fight. Same way. Not a fight, but, you know, sticking to it. And it was just hard. It was hard dealing with booking and dealing with editing. It's not shit I've dealt with much. But we got it done. And now they've picked it up for a second season. We're going to do it again. And I was kind of worried because there's another, like, fuck, it's so much work. But here's the deal. I don't need money. So I'm only going to do shit that I believe in. I'll sway here or there. I'll get fucked over. I'll agree to a project that I don't want to do anymore. But I'm only going to do shit that I find funny or I find interesting. The money might come, the money might not. So I am interested in enlisting the help of anyone who wants to do good shit. I'm going to support you guys. You're trying to do something cool? I'll help. Might just be introducing you to someone else who might be able to help, but I'll do my best, comedians. Comedy world, I'm behind you. Anyone in that sense, anyone who's standing in the way of me doing whatever I want to do creatively, I have no time for that. I have no time for it. I'm moving on without you. Let's just move forward. I'm going to do fun shit with my friends. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be cool. And I'm not going to do shit I don't believe in. I'm not going to do an unfunny sitcom. I'm just not going to do it because I have enough money now. It's not a lot, but it's enough. It's enough where I can buy a poncho when I go to the Yankee game with Renazisi and it rains, and we can buy $10 for a poncho. I'm telling you, you guys don't know what poverty's like, where you can't afford that. You just have to sit in the rain. But I can afford little things like that, and that's all I really need. So I'm interested in doing good shit. So to ask for help, let me explain to you what the booking process is like for This Is Not Happening. It's not as simple as, oh, TV wants you, let's get somebody. A lot of these people are too big for TV. A lot of the best comics in the world. When Joe Rogan did my show on the web, which he says was his better story, and on TV, which he says was not as good a story as his first one, but I think they were both solid. But that first one really was amazing. The one with the strip club. Go look that up. There's not a happening playlist. Go look up Joe Rogan's strip club. It's a great story. When a guy like that will do a web show where he makes $2,000, it's just a webisode. He is helping the cause of stand-up. He doesn't need to do that. It's more time and preparation than he needs to do. He had to work it on the road. But he was willing to do it to help a fucking cool show. And he got it off the ground. He did help with it. Joey Diaz, not just phoning it in, but preparing for months and really thinking about a story. His story on the last episode of the last season of This Is Not Happening on the TV version. Go look at the playlist right now. It's the last episode in the playlist. It's art, you guys. It's fucking art. And I mean, we had little discussions about where he's going with the story. We talked it over, but that was all him. And I am just honored to provide a platform for an amazing story like that. So you guys, here's the deal. It's hard to find women. It's hard to find celebrities. The big women, I'll just tell you, the Sarah Silvermans of the world, the Amy Schumers of the world, the top level girls in comedy, if you're wondering why I don't have enough girls, it's because they're too big for it. They don't need to do 8 minutes of comedy on television. It's just they don't need to. They've moved past it. So me reaching out to their representatives, their lawyers or their agents or their managers to try to get them to do something for a couple grand, they don't even pass that on to them. Or they pass it on in passing. Like, oh, this guy already wants you to do a show. It's Comedy Central. You don't have to do it. So unless they already know about it, they ain't going to do it. So please, everyone, tweet to your favorite comedians, to the biggest comics in the world. I need your help. Put pressure on them. Tell them. Reach out to Ari. You guys, the biggest comics, Jim Jefferies, he's one of the best storytellers on earth, and he didn't do my show. And that's a failing of the last season. That's a failing. Please, everyone, put pressure on all. I'm talking about the biggest comics in the world. Your favorites, who you want to see on the show. Write to them in whatever method you have, to their website, to Twitter, Facebook, and say, hey, dude, this is not happening. Reach out to Ari Shaffir. Reach out to Comedy Central. Tell them you want to do it. Because these reps and these managers, they stand in our way. Trust me, they stand in our way. I have to go around them all the time where their reps say no. And then, you know, what can Comedy Central do? All they can do is say, okay, we'll have to abide by that. We'll work for you again. And then I got to go try to find the actual artist, the actual comedian. I have to go to them and say, come on, man, do it. I know they're telling you not to do it, but trust me. And to comedians, honestly, I will not let you down. I will fight my ass off to ensure that it's done the right way. I get it. I know what TV's done to you in the past. Here's how it's going to be. I'm laying everything on the table. I won't lie to you. We're going to do a shorter version of your story on TV. Okay? If you do, I tell people 5 to 15 for the live show. So if you do a 12-minute story, we don't got time for that on TV. I'll edit it so it looks flawless, so it looks so good. And then on YouTube, we'll put the full version. I'll take out any riffs that didn't go anywhere, that were dead riffs, and I'll use you to help edit it. I'll ask you what you want in and what you for sure want out. I will not betray you. Okay? I'm trying to do something. Help me or get out of the way. Help me or get out of the way. Everybody. And I know there's certain comics that want to be on there. And I know for white comics, white male comics, you guys, I'm sorry. It's just too hard. We got to include some minorities and we got to include some women. And I want to, but the good ones. What I don't want is to have to put on a 5-year woman in comedy and pass over a guy like Nick Thune, who's been doing comedy for 10, 12 years, because we need more women. That's not fair to comedy. But that's a position we're going to be in if the legit big level females and minorities won't do it. And trust me, Comedy Central will be a lot more willing to let me book the guys I want to book. The no names that I'm telling, and I tell them, like, please, they are an awesome storyteller. Please let me do this. And they go, well, we need some celebrities. And I get it. They need ratings. I get it. So a guy like Rogan, that satisfies both of us. Because we get a legit top-level comic, and they get a celebrity. A guy like Jim Jefferies is for sure that. A guy like Bill Burr is for sure that. Sarah Silverman, for sure. So guys, help. Help me. I'm looking for your help. Let's all do some shit together. You won't get a producer credit. But this is what I'm doing as a producer. I'm reaching out for help. I need your help. Reach out to all of them, okay? I'm booking it now. We're going to shoot this again in October. I've already got some people that are in. Some people that I'm proud of. I'm not supposed to announce it yet. Al Madrigal is doing it. He's a great storyteller. Of course Joey Diaz is going to do it again. Of course he is. So I'll tell you a little story. And in terms of like not worrying about money, it's not like I won't worry about it at all. You know, that's what my agents and my reps are for. But Duncan Trussell used to do this. He used to do this thing at the end of his sets in L.A. when we were open micers. He would finish his set. He would do his whole set and he'd finish it by going, hey, guys, just so you know, there's going to be a major earthquake in the next 3 days. He might have said a week, might have said tomorrow. And then he got off. He'd be like, ha-ha, laugh, ha-ha, laugh. All right, you guys, that's my time. By the way, there's going to be a major earthquake in the next 3 days in Los Angeles. All right, I'll see you later. And here's what it did. It wouldn't happen, and people forget about it. But since there are occasional earthquakes in Los Angeles, once in a long while, there would be an earthquake in the next 3 days. And everybody who was at his show in the last 3 days would go, oh, my God, that comedian was right. oh my God. And he wasn't doing it so he could film it because he could never see the reactions. He was doing it for the purity of comedy. That they would get, that would happen. He knows he would get a fucking laugh off their probable reaction. Let's do that, you guys. Let's just work for comedy. Come on, all of it. Club owners, you can't tell fucking features and MCs that they can't perform at another club across the city. You can't. You can't. It's getting in the way of comedy. I will actively fight you on it. I will embarrass you publicly if you keep doing this. Don't do it anymore. Let us develop. That's one of the biggest things. Anyway, you guys, I'm on board. I'm on board. I'm back. My trip to Thailand was amazing. It relaxed me. I went to Governor's Ball yesterday. Took some amazing Molly. My life is really solid. I'm making shit that I want to make right now. So help me. For real. Get involved. Be a part of it. Let's crowdsource this shit, you guys. Not with money. Not with money. Fuck money. Fuck money. That's not what we're living for. The government's getting half of it anyway. They take 35 to 40% when you make it. Charge you another 8 to 10% when you buy shit. And then whatever you scrimp and save and have left, they're taking half of that before you hand it on. Fuck money. That's not what we're here for. We're here to make amazing shit. We're here to watch the Black Keys on fucking Molly sitting on a fucking hill waiting for the sun to go down. Join me, you guys. Let's make awesome shit. It's there for all of us. Seriously, pressure everybody, all right? I'm going to keep asking, but do it. Thank you very much. Enjoy Skeptic Thing. And by the way, for this podcast too, I haven't had much time. I'm reinvigorating myself. This episode was an okay episode. It's not going to be great. It was okay. I'll try to limit those in the future. I'm going to try to put out great episodes. Get back to where it was. To really find out about some shit. Really explore some stuff. What I did with the divorce, of course, episode with the Siroffs. Interviewing both sides of a divorce case. That's cool shit, man. I'm happy with that. I'm happy with the way it came out. I'm going to do more cool shit like that. If you guys have any suggestions of people to put on my podcast, I'm listening. Don't suggest yourself. I will immediately tune out. But if you know about a comic who's had an experience that I might be into, yeah, let's go. Tell me about it. I'll reach out to them. Big comics, small comics, really interesting stories. I'm getting a former nun on my podcast. I'm getting a guy with cerebral palsy on my podcast. I want to find out about life. Let's get back to that. Fuck, not funny at all, but more of a pep talk for myself. So, yeah, whatever. All right, but Derek Gaines is a funny comic, young comic in New York. He's in the MTV world. I make fun of him a little bit. By the way, he did not take the bait at all on shitting on things. Try to get him to shit on Patrice O'Neal, not taking the bait. Try to get him shit on MTV, not taking the bait. Honestly, though, sounds like Patrice O'Neal was a way better guy than I knew of him. The experience casual people had, I'll do this later, but the experience casual people had with him was that of an asshole. But it seems like the people he looked out for, that's what I mean too. The way he describes what Patrice did for him, that's a shit I don't mind doing. I gotta remember. Big comics too, you gotta remember. Tell the young guys when they do a good job, let them know. I mean, one of the best things in my life was doing the Nasty Show and Louis C.K. 5 years ago, you know, my first time in Montreal, and Louis C.K. going, hey man, that was really funny. I was like, that's cool. And then years later, he fucking remembered that joke of me jerking off two dudes, miming it out. He's like, you still doing that? I was like, no, man, that was 3 years ago. But fuck, you remembered. You know, that keeps you going. Dave Attell once told me that I was a good writer. And he's wrong. He's wrong. But it made me want to earn that compliment. All right, let's go. Let's start the episode. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 222. Mop This Way. With Derek Gaines, all about being a janitor. Here we go.
Take out the papers and the trash. Or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yaggedy yak.
Don't talk back.
Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's see that dust fly with that broom. Get all that garbage out of sight. Oh, you don't go out Friday night. Yaggedy yak.
Don't talk back.
You just put on your coat and hat.
How long is it until you can get away from the goofy white chicks?
Huh?
How much of a pull do you feel to always be looking at the goofy white chicks?
It's just, it's fun, man. You're like, oh, okay. Because I'm getting, that's attention from the other demographics. So I'm going, okay.
Yeah.
It's working out.
Even if you don't understand what they're saying.
I don't make
a bunny face and whatever.
You know, I'm like, let it happen, you know. Good comment. Any comment is
Are you getting a lot more 14-year-olds hitting you up now that you're on MTV?
Yeah. Quite a few. Hey! Or it'd be weird, like little 13-year-old boys.
Yeah.
Same but you thing. Can tell they're not, it's not like on some gay shit. It's just like they'd be like, hey, man, follow me. You cool. And right, I'd be like, right. I can't. You're 14 years. I can't, Jacob.
Can't follow you.
I'm sorry, Jacob. I can't. No. It's just weird. It's weird. But no, if other
you
than that.
Every once in a while, some like little kid will follow me. And it's like, or like someone I know, though. Like someone's like a Booker's little child. And I'm like, why are they? I'm going to put bad things on there. You should get your kid away from me.
Yeah. That's not good at all. No, man, because they, you know, I guess they need people to look up to. They look up to me now.
To you?
Because I'm funny.
Stupid.
I'm funny.
That's so you know? Stupid.
People want to be funny these days, you know. They go, oh,
who would look up to you, Derek? That's fucking ridiculous. But like, they're going to take, like, your lead on something?
Any kid from South Jersey.
What I'm life choice here. Should I make here? Well, let me see what Derek Gaines would do.
Going on MTV. Yeah.
Let me go with DGD.
I ain't shit.
What's your shows now? MTV. So
Broke Ass Game Show on MTV.
That's the first one.
And
now, did you do the Gang Hound? Did you do that? Those two.
Do what?
Gang Hound.
No, I didn't do Gang Hound.
You never did any of those.
I couldn't. They didn't like my tape. Shit. A few years ago, I guess I wasn't funny.
What was your tape?
I taped the first season of Guy Code. First season. I went in to tape. I had a shitty shirt on. I kept sweating from the cameras, and all my jokes didn't land. It was
you were
white,
nervous.
And I was nervous. So, yeah.
Do you think flop sweat shines more on black skin than white skin? They should do a study on bombing. And like, see if you can tell a racial
bomb
difference.
Sweat, flop sweat. That's funny as shit. No, it shows up on black people more.
More on black people?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they say about cars.
It comes through your clothes, but it comes through our skin. Like you see CK, you see all the, you get sweat stains, but black people, you see it coming sweat. Down their face. Like, you know, oh, because I sweat a lot on stage. And everybody thinks
guy,
I'm fucking
who was the first black comic? It's only black comics. Who were the first black comics to use a towel on stage to mop?
I want
to
say Martin Lawrence, Damon Wayans.
Bruce
probably had to. I think I seen Richard Pryor with a towel.
Richard Pryor had a towel?
He, live in 79, he was sweating his ass off live in 79. He had a
Where
silk shirt on, I'll never forget.
In Africa?
No, he was in Long Beach.
Really?
He was in Long Beach, he had a red shirt on, and he was sweating that shit out. I remember that.
Richard Pryor towel.
He might have had a towel in 79. He had something. It was on a bench.
Images.
But that red shirt. Yeah, that's the red shirt. He sweated that shit out, man.
Yeah, I need a full body one of that.
He sweated the red. It was the red silk shirt. I remember that special. That one right there.
This one?
The red silk boy. Yeah, man. He was hot on it. He was sweating his ass off. So I was like, God damn, Richard, get a towel.
Yeah, so he was probably the originator then.
Yeah, but nah. Yeah, who else Martin Lawrence, big, but he was sweating his ass off when you so crazy because he had a whole leather baseball jersey
that was
on.
So ridiculous.
He had a leather outfit. Like he had
Can
a leather baseball outfit
that
on.
Today, they'd be like, "What did you wear for your special, man? Did you? I mean, remember when Sean Donnelly tried to wear a suit for the first time in his life?
Oh, it was Letterman. Bad. Didn't he sweat his ass off?
Oh yeah, he sweat. He didn't tie it right. Hold on, now I got to show.
Donnelly is
that.
A man's man. That motherfucker. He stayed. It's jeans and hoodie with Sean Donnelly. Yeah. Put Sean Donnelly in a suit? No.
He doesn't even know how to.
That's John Candy. You don't. That's like the.
Sean Donnelly. There it is. Images. Where's his fucking suit picture? Oh, you got to see it. It's so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
He has no idea how to wear. What is it, on Letterman?
Yeah. Oh, God. Portly dudes that shouldn't wear suits.
Where?
I love Sean Donnelly.
Did they take all the pictures of Sean Donnelly and Letterman off?
His suit must have been whack.
How do you spell Donnelly? Two N's, two L's?
Yeah.
Sean Donnelly, Letterman. Images. There it is. That's not a clear one. Look at this. Look at his
Oh, yeah, that tie looks awful.
Tie's way off.
Like
He's
dead,
got no
tie
idea.
Tie looks like a dead snake. That's just so bad. Nah, that's... Oh, man. Yeah, get him out. He looks like a Men in Black.
Yeah. He's trying. I just don't understand why then, of all places... Man, you cannot find a lot of people. Fucking Joe List wore a suit, too.
Yeah.
People wear suits for this shit? Pete Lee makes sense, sort of.
You would. Wouldn't you wear...
Nah, just a button down, man. What am I going to change who I am because I'm filming a different type of show?
That's a good point.
A fucking president's, you know, thing where everyone in the whole place wears a suit. People in the audience aren't wearing suits.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I get the reason why, but like...
I'm not wearing a suit.
You're not doing that.
I wear a suit. I like casual jackets. I'm casual jacket man number one.
I had Conan. That was the only late night I ever did, but it was just like shirt, nice shirt that I wear on a fucking Saturday night, you know?
Gotcha. Just a social shirt.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to be like torn t-shirt.
Oh, no, you ain't going to get on stage with goddamn Ramones t-shirt
on. On a Tuesday, I might, you know? But yeah, but I'm not going to do that there. Yeah. But that'd be, yeah. Yeah, whatever. Jeans and a t-shirt.
Yeah, but flap sweat is funny. That's just really funny.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Flap sweat. But it's good. There's killing sweat, too. So
yeah, that's the Bruce sweat.
Yeah, Bruce sweat, the Martin Lawrence
from
sweat.
From exertion. Ralphie took that. Ralphie's the only kind of white guy that does that.
What?
The mop the brow.
He has to. It's like 1,000 pounds.
I wonder if before anyone did that, did they just let it pour into their face like you're golfing in fucking 90-degree heat?
I don't know. That's you had to bring the rag. The rag is another type of show entertainment piece. Like, I'm getting rags made.
Cokehead used to, are you really?
I'm getting rags made. Great boy rags. Yeah, I had it four, and they were successful. So my mom was going to press
made
up like...
four of them?
My mom got me for my birthday
How
last
unsuccessful
year.
Could they have been with four of them?
I just wanted to see if it worked. People was like, yo, I want one. So I was like, all right.
Flops
like,
of sweat rag.
Yeah, so you got to throw it in the crowd, all the chicks take it, or I can sell them after shows for like $4.
$4, get your money
You can
back.
Wipe yourself after you're sexing or you're working out. Ladies,
people
know
what
to
do with towels, Derek.
Huh?
The idea of what to do with the towel is not new. You don't have to explain it to people. What the many ways you can use a towel.
But I'm just saying, I put it out there.
If you spill something,
you got to call it. Call the elephant in the room, Ari.
Dry your hands after washing them. Yeah, there's so many things you can
hang
do.
Hang this in the bathroom. Every time y'all wash your hands before dinner, think of me.
If a towel, after you wash it, is not dry enough yet, you can use this. It'll get you there.
The towel, man. The sweat rag.
We used to sell Pauly Shore's t-shirts, and me, Renazisi, and like Steve Simone, and Renazisi would just yell out like, 100% cotton, come on, get your t-shirt, made in America, get your t-shirts. It's great.
Steve Renazisi's funny.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure of opening for him at...
where?
Levity.
Oh, really?
Like Thursday. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
This Thursday?
No, just a random Thursday.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he was cool.
Yeah, he brings a cool crowd too, right? He's a nice guy. Yeah. We started together. We were door guys at the comedy store together.
Oh, wow.
When I punched Bobby Lee in front of the cover booth, he was working the cover booth, and he went the long way around and then slowly like broke it up. Because he wanted to see his shit go down, too.
Because you're special. In the intro.
Yeah.
In the cartoon intro. I was like, that's pretty fucking...
Such a big part
like,
of me there.
He did that, for real. I was like, that's pretty good. That's cool.
Yeah. We had to get Bobby to sign a release. I'm like, why? It's a cartoon version of him. He's not doing anything. But he was like, no problem.
That's really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Let's talk about this. You were... Okay. That's why I wanted to talk to you anyway. Every time I see comedians with like old weird jobs, I'm like, oh, perfect. Yeah. I either want to get like a current guy in that kind of job. Like I just found a garbage man outside the cellar who recognized me. Yeah. I was leaving. And he was like, all right. I was like, oh, hey, what's up? And then I was like... walked past, you know, and I was like, oh, hey, would you do a podcast about being a fucking, are you a garbage man? That's what I said. Are you a garbage man? He goes, you know, sanitation employee. I was like, yeah, let's do a podcast about it. So either current of that shit or used to be, but now is a comic. So like DeMayo, I got on about being a cop. So you were a fucking janitor, man.
Janitor, man. High paid janitor.
Where did you janit?
I janitored at the New Jersey Turnpike. And to be honest, the Newark Police Station on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Oh.
And the Garden State Parkway. And it was two different dynamics.
What do you mean?
So when I got to the New Jersey Turnpike, of course.
Was it a government job?
It was a union job.
Okay.
State job. State of New Jersey. So got a union job. I was a high paid janitor or whatever, right?
What did you know? Not whatever. How did you apply for a janitor job? Why did you decide to be like,
here's the thing. Because I needed to get closer to New York to start doing comedy. So I was like, fuck. I can't get a job in Manhattan just yet. So
why?
Because I had a car and I had to move somewhere close. Manhattan was too expensive. So I moved to Jersey City. Yeah, so I moved from South Jersey to Jersey City. And the way to support that move was to become a janitor.
I thought of being a cop because they could work like midnight to 6 a.m. shifts. And I was like, that'd kind of work out.
Right after you get off the
when I'm done with shit, get some to eat and then head up. And then go to sleep afterwards.
the last couple hours, I'd be pretty
groggy. What about crime fighting? Did you consider that?
Not at all.
Not a drop of
crime. I mean, not at all. A little bit, I was like, will I be in danger in this job? That was my only like thought of like, maybe not. But no, the thought of like helping the community, that wasn't even on the list. I just saw benefits and $33,000 a year. And I was like, damn, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I got benefits and all that.
You did?
The benefits.
Were they good?
Yeah, they were great. Everything was great being a janitor full time. It was full time. And, you know, I worked during the day, so at night I would go into the city and do what I had to do.
Do shit.
But, yeah, working at the New Jersey Turnpike Police Station was a scary That's a.
Whew. Why?
Because
could you get high and do it?
Mm-mm.
You could not.
I regret not smoking then because that would have been a job to do it. But I was around so many cops. Yeah. Like, I was scared. Like, because you know how cops, they don't like black people at all. So it's like, when I was there, like, they did a little funny shit because I was the black dude working the station. So, like, I remember when I had to clean the kitchen, like, and all the cops was in there watching the news. That was some scary shit. Like, just trying to mop slow, not trying to make noise because I didn't, you know, they might, I don't know what the fuck because they was all buzz cut, racist look, and they were state troopers too. So it was just like, this is strange. And then I remember one time.
No black people?
Like, the token black cops would come in, like, once a Friday, like, the dudes from other departments, and they would stop by, and it'd be, like, the one black cop that I see for the month. So, it was like, because when we locked out, I was like, hey, man, he was like, what's up, bro, they treating you okay in here? I'm like, yeah, they're doing all right. But it was always weird, because I was in a police station, man. I learned about the MS-13s, the Bloods, the Crips, all the drugs we need to look for on the turnpike. Oh, I didn't know there was that much meth and fucking, like, dirty crack going through the turn. Like, you learn, like, I had to clean a few bus, like, boxes and bundles of cash would be in offices, and I'd be like, oh. And I'll be waiting. The cameras be on. I'm like, y'all ain't gonna get me. So I would like mop around.
What, you wanted to take them?
Of course I wanted to clean that money. Yeah. I'm like, God damn, look at all that drug money.
But of course, if any went missing, they would look at you.
They would look at me.
They were probably watching you do it, going, take it.
Would work out. They were, it was like, I think they would set up plants. Like, they put out free food and stuff like that, and I'd never take it. I'd be like, nope, you ain't gonna get me. Like, I just didn't, like, I heard them talk, because I used to sleep in the, in the slop closet.
Sleep in that little closet?
In the broom closet. Because they didn't really care. Like, I did nothing for the state of New Jersey. I was so good at sleeping on the job, it was ridiculous. Like, I was good at sleeping on the job.
Yeah.
Like, I found good nooks and spots. I'm not talking about minutes. Fuck naps. I used to get REM sleep on that job. Like,
really?
Like, 4 or 5 hours, disappear, come back like nothing ever happened.
That's
like,
what we did at Arlington National Cemetery. We had, like, lay pipes and shit. If they picked to pick weeds, they'd leave us with, like, two empty trash cans. Like, pick weeds. We'll be back in, like, 4 hours. We'll get you at lunchtime. So that was, you know, 9:15. They get us at like 12:30. So we would just immediately go to sleep. It was the far end of the parking lot, the very far end. Yeah. We would go to sleep, and then we'd get a bunch of newspapers, wad them up to fill up the trash can, cover that with like a layer or two of weeds. So when he came back,
clever.
Two trash cans. Because we out.
Yeah, gone, right? Because I got smart on that job with sleeping on the job. Like, I used to bring a pillow to work.
Yeah.
But I used to know where to put it. Like, I had a locker. I used to put all my sleeping accoutrement out. It was so good, man. It was two benches that you could sleep in, and they wouldn't bother you. But what you had to do was you had to work really hard for 20 minutes. Take the trash out, smile at people. Hey, man. Like, mop the floor, put the fan out, make it look like you're doing shit. And then as soon as minute 21 hit, you kind of just... like, back off into the bathroom, and then the bathroom had a locker room. Man, I had a little box radio, everything pop.
Really?
I was back there just chilling. Yep. And I used to leave at lunch, go back over to I go hang with my janitor friends.
What do you mean?
Like, I had a team.
Were the different floors? Everybody had their own floor?
No, well, actually, it's a turnpike. It was all kind of factory setup. It was weird because, like, on one side was the guys that drove all the salt trucks, so I had to clean.
What do you mean to turnpike? Where in the turnpike?
Think Jersey, right?
Okay.
Think Jersey. Think the airport, Newark Airport.
Ew.
Right across the highway is the police station.
Okay.
And in that parking lot is the New Jersey Turnpike fucking weather patrol. So they got the guys with the salt trucks, all those guys, all them union guys. So I had to clean the police station and the other spot. It's just dirty white men. Just. Hey, are you the new fella? And can you back up the shop where we leave all the salt at? I had to clean how much salt I had to push Just all kinds of goofy shit I used to do, but...
So what? So there's more than one janitor there?
No, it was me. I was the guy. But there was other guys that had, like... They had, like, part-time positions. So I had to be amongst the guys part-time, but I had to keep it a secret that I was full-time.
You were the boss janitor?
Yeah, I was boss janitor because I was full-time. But nobody knew, right? So when they found out, they treated me funny.
Really? They treat you like you were Redbone?
Yeah, it was like, who the fuck? Yeah, they treat me like the light-skinned girl with freckles and green eyes, yeah. Right? And then then now when they found out I was full-time, they're trying to switch my shift because they can do that full-time. They try to put me on nights instead of days. And I was like, well, I'm a comedian. I'm not a janitor. So I had to get transferred from there to the yard in Union, New Jersey. That was further down, but it completely changed. Like, that thing completely changed because I went from Nazi cop white. Right, Nazi cops, state troopers, kind of funny. I remember I used to clean the bathroom, and they would wait and then shit in the bathroom as soon as I finished cleaning.
Okay. You got to see it from their point of view. I'd rather shit in the cleanest bathroom possible.
Yeah, so they'd be like, oh, well, you know, and then bomb it like I never even did anything. I was like, damn, what's the point? But they used to do that shit. But now it's just funny looks. I didn't like them. And they had a holding cell. I used to have to clean by the holding cell. There'd be some crazy motherfuckers in there, too.
Like in the holding cell while they were in there?
Yeah. I'm like, damn, I could look in and see them. Like, it was like, this is scary.
Wait, were they in there while you were cleaning it?
Yeah. I can't clean inside the cell, but I can walk by it.
Wow.
And see that they had that glass mirror where you could see one way and not the other way.
When you were in the janitor's cage, did you ever jerk off in there?
Nah, I never jerked off at work.
You never thought about it?
I thought about jerking off at work, but I never did it.
Why not?
Because I was like, I don't want to jerk off at work. I don't.
I know, but it's not like you'd separate it.
But
it's like want to jerk
it
off.
Went from that, and that was weird. And, you know, I made money. I got back home. I was doing my shit. But then when I got transferred, that's when it got fun. Because I went from that to they transferred me to, like, the blackest yard. Like, the black guy, y'all. Like, so it went from, like, Nazi cop to, you remember, like, Charlie Sheen on Cadence? Remember that movie Cadence? Mm-hmm. When he went to military jail and they bunked him with Lawrence Fishburne and this whole beautiful, funny cast of black dudes? That was basically what I got into. So it was like, I went from Nazi cops watching CNN every morning, you know, loading up their guns to the black yard where they got Hot 97 playing. We playing dominoes at lunch.
Oh, hell yeah. That's what we used to do in Arlington. We would play spades.
Yeah.
Black guys would get so into it. Man, they wouldn't just win. They would slap a card down so hard.
Yeah.
It'd be so emasculating.
Yeah.
What you know about the Queen of Spades?
Like, shit talk, all that. Because we closed that back door. The boss would never fuck with us from 11:30 to 12:30. That was us. Black. Music bumping, motherfuckers bringing leftovers, fried chicken and potato salad. Oh, and they talk about each other's wives. Oh, I was over at Debbie's house last night. She make that lasagna, but I was up in that lasagna. They say all that bullshit.
Do they do the thing where they repeat that somebody else repeats the punchline of the
yes,
joke?
Yes, of course.
Equal
it's the black
it?
Room.
Oh my god!
Like you'd be
I
like,
I can't understand that.
Like you'd be like, what was some funny shit? You just got iced, knucka. Oh, he said knucka. He said knucka. And then he talked trash. Like, we used to play competitive, like 2-on-2 dominoes. And it got intense. And, like, we was talking shit.
Yeah.
Because they treated me like a rookie at first. But then when they knew I was a comedian, I started talking trash back. And I started getting funny with them. I was just like, I fuck with this dude. So we started playing bones. We started making teams. We made teams. And, like. And like 11:30 to 12:30 was like why I went to work.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, like from 2:30 to 3, we played the second round.
Play again.
We played the second round because it'd be the thing at lunch, and it'd be like, I got y'all bitch asses at the end of the job. So it's like it was.
Oh yeah,
game.
Because you would go back to the fucking cage.
Yeah, we'd
early.
Go right back to the lunchroom at 2:30 and
get, waiting
pick
to get
up
off
where we left off.
That's what we did too. We got all the way back at like, I guess we got off at 5 and we got back at like, you know, 4:15. I waited like 10 minutes. I was like, all right, I guess we're not doing anything. So I just clocked out. And they're like, you can't leave early, man. I'm like, we're not doing anything. He's like, no, you got to stay till 5. I'm like, I guess. I thought this is just costing you money. We're not doing, okay. And they would all play spades again while they're like, we got to wait. But it was like, they would never get back like at 5:03. That would be the worst case scenario. Yeah. So they'd always bring everybody back by 4:40.
Oh, yeah.
4:15.
We always, work was over at 3.
3.
But we always got back to that room 2:25, 2:30 because we got to play end of the day dominoes because there's shit talking online. It was never money. It was just a dream game. It was like that, we going to dog each other, eat lunch, and at the end, whatever. And then, you know, it was just cool. We had nickname. Everybody had a nickname. Iceman.
Yeah.
Unk. Shy.
You want something to drink?
Comedy Man. That was me. Yeah, I'll take water.
Water. Yeah, what else? Keep going.
There was so many characters.
I'll pause for a second. This doesn't seem weird. We'll get to everything. All right. So, okay. So where were we?
Yeah.
So the new job, you play Bones, you play all that shit.
Yeah. Play Bones with the fellas, talk shit.
Did you pick up a strategy at Domino's?
I did. Actually, I just got good at playing the guys that were good. Like, I used to get my ass kicked a lot. And then when I started figuring out numbers and colors and all that shit, and I used to, because my teammate was Unk, and he was the oldest dude there. He was the wisest one.
Wait, look, you're young blood. This is how you learned about numbers?
Yeah, I learned, not how to count.
Where
stupid.
Did you learn how to read?
I learned.
So black culture is so interesting. Tell me
yeah,
more.
Yeah, man, no, I learned about. That sounded weird. I learned about how to count with the bone. No, I learned how to play dominoes because the old head used to school me on this. Got to match this, and you got to throw this way, and it was swag to it, and
really
smack like motherfucker. We used to. It was like they was like dance moves. It was like they battling with dominoes. It was the blackest, funnest shit ever. Because I'm like, because I'm from the suburbs. This is like black experience that I missed not coming up in the hood. So looking around, I'm like, this is oh my god. I felt like I was a part of something. Like, you know, like, you know, Kevin Costner on Dances with Wolves, kind of.
Yeah.
He got like, more Indian. Uh-huh. Like, the same thing. So when I got in there, I was like, I feel more black because I got a uniform on. We all match. We all got our Garden State Parkway hats cocked to the side and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, we was a team. We used to fuck with each other, sing songs and shit. So it was the blackest, funnest shit ever. And to go from that, from all them cops to that, was just great. And I've made friends. Like, all them guys, I still keep in contact with all them guys.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yo, man, I see you blowing up, man. When you coming to Jersey? I'm like, you know, I'll be there.
When you come to Jersey, to play. Not to, like.
Either, that'd be so dope if I could get them out because that yard split up.
What do you mean?
Like, after I got fired from that job, one of my boys, Santo, was like, yo, the black yard ain't the union yard. Union yard ain't no more because that was the blackest yard. In all of the turnpike. Like, they put all the brothers there in North Jersey. And it was just like, we was like the Tuskegee Airmen. The Garden State Parkway. that's what we were.
How much did you make at this job?
$21.50 an hour.
Oh, I thought you can say $21.5 a year. What's $21.50 an hour?
8 hours a day. I don't know. I don't know how much I was making
a year.
I
think 10 is like 20. I think that's like 40 grand a year. $21.50. 40 hours a week, right?
Yeah, 40 hours a week. I made $21.50 an hour. I never forgot. That was a good paying job, man.
Equals times 52. Yeah, 44 grand. Damn.
It's a good job. And I left. And all these motherfuckers couldn't understand why. They didn't understand dreams. They was like, dude, you want to be
on your way towards pension, right?
Yeah. They was like, you need to get a pension when you're 55. And you benefits, because it was damn near free to go to the doctor when I had those benefits. When I had them union benefits, I could get medicine that used to cost me $90 for $3. Like, I was like, dang.
Really?
Yeah, so.
After insurance sucks. I've been paying way more with it than without it. And I have to pay the premiums.
Yeah, I'm paying call care, some Jersey shit. God. And I'm paying all kinds of shit for stuff that is still expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But like union benefit, man.
I thought it was supposed to be if you get insurance,
you can get
you
a heart
have
transplant
to pay for anything anymore.
You can get a heart transplant for $20 with the fucking
really?
With fucking union
wow.
That
I
union insurance.
One. You should have just gotten
one. You can get
one.
A heart transplant for $20.
Why didn't you get? Why didn't you get
I was
one?
Like, damn, I could get everything done with this fucking shit. I want to go. Like,
would you go apart if you could?
What
apart?
Apart. Like if like heart, the, art, the heart from an ape heart.
Would you rather ape heart or pig heart?
Gorilla heart.
Gorilla heart.
Because them off. Yeah, they gotta.
You're not scared of the racism involved?
Oh no, white people have to be more mature. Me, I need to live.
Yeah, right.
But no, white people have to. They're never like Patrice used to say this shit. White people will never be that mature. Remember he was naming a special. He was like, I was gonna call it 600-pound gorilla, but I don't think. It's unfair for white people to have to be that mature. He said it on Fallon.
Really?
I fucking fell off the couch laughing. I was like, that's great.
I think it's fair for them to have to.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair for white people to have to be that mature.
Because they'd be like,
I just died laughing.
Was like, they would have to be that mature. They would have to not
he
be
was like, I think it's unfair. That was well said. Rest in peace to the king.
Did you know him? Did you hang out with him?
Yeah, I did.
Was he an asshole to you like everybody else?
Nope. He was
nice to you.
He shit on me, but he kind of taught me shit.
Yeah.
So, because like, It was funny how I met him too, because we remember Comics was open on 14th and 9th and it shut down. Mm-hmm. Remember Comics? I saw him for the first time at Comics, and Cypher Sounds was there, and he knew Patrice, and he was like, "Yo, Cypher." I know, he was like, "Patrice, this is my young boy Derek from South Jersey, came up here to be a comedian." He was like, "He live in Jersey City." And he was like, "Ah, yeah, little nigga, you need a ride home?" I was like, "Sure." And then on the ride home, it was me, him, and Zoo Man Miller. I don't know if you know Zoo Man from Atlanta. No. And we just started talking about funny shit. And I couldn't say anything because I was captivated by this dude. Because he was just saying this funny shit. And I'm like, this young boy, 24, wanted to be a comedian from Philly. And I'm like, this the dude. This the fucking... So at the end of the trip, I kind of said, I was like, Patrice, I was kind of afraid to ask him. I was like, any advice? So, you know, new guy coming up. He was like, well, this y'all shit. I'm old. He was like, I'm on my way out. This is y'all. The Comics. All this shit is for y'all. You know.
Who right? said that, Patrice?
Yeah. He said, this comic shit is for y'all. I'm on my way out.
What do you mean?
He just said, like, he's like, I'm old. Like, comedy doesn't like me anymore. Like, you know how he used to fuck around. I'm old. He was like, well, this is y'all now. Y'all the young boys that want to do this shit. And he said, just write prolific shit, and I'll see you around. Now get out. I was like, thanks, man. And it, like, from then on, that was like 09. Like early 2010. And from then on, I took his advice. And then I used to see him before he passed. I saw him at a barbecue. I saw him at Caroline's.
Okay.
Yeah, at his barbecue. And barbecue's, I saw him at Caroline's. Killed him. Damn, Ari. But no, because he quit. He quit the bad food. So that's what.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That's what killed him, you're saying?
You know, body went
when
reverse.
When did he quit the bad food?
He later down the line. I remember running around when he was 40.
He was in the hospital,
like when he was 38.
Paralyzed.
When he was 38.
He quit bad food, and when did he die?
And he died right before he turned 41, 41.
Is that when he put the suit on and shit?
He didn't put a suit. What are you talking about?
When he put the purple suit on from FUBU, he was wearing FUBU, that he went to, like, suits. Then he went to purple suits and shit.
Nah, this is after. This is when he was wearing jerseys and sneaks and all that shit.
Oh. Jersey sneaks was before.
Huh?
The suit was the end.
No, I don't remember him wearing a suit. Oh, you mean the suit on Elephant in the Room?
No, yeah.
He didn't wear a suit. He wore, like, a leather jacket with the hat.
There used to be the fucking...
By the way, one of the greatest specials I've ever seen. So, but anyway.
Do you think it's like an embarrassment to him that you're so terrible?
I know, right? I'm taking his advice and I'm just shitty.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
I'll
honor your... Patrice suit. Why is it all white guys?
You gotta put Patrice O'Neal.
It seems like racism.
You try to sniff out racism that's not even there.
Yeah.
You goofball.
It's fun. You know, here, look, Patrice in a suit. That's the fucking, there's a red suit.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
You're right. Leather jackets. He was just like adult.
Leather jackets.
He was just adult. Button downs. Yeah, it was. God, he was fucking fat. What do you mean he gave up bad foods? And why didn't he lose any weight?
You know, it was because.
No, I don't know.
It must have been later. He must have just started quitting food and then it happened. But I don't want to talk about his death. Yeah. That's my man. But.
You ever want to go do janitoring at a school?
Never.
Never.
Because I saw how they used to do when I was in school, like the sawdust.
Sawdust.
Everybody was mean.
Was
the women had beards. Friend. All the women that cleaned school had beards too. I was like, damn, this fucked up.
And the lunch ladies.
Yeah. Just the fucking coils, the pig coils.
Do you think they develop that from working in schools? Big amount, like,
off that
energy? Or do you think that they're so weird looking that they're relegated to just helping at school?
That's kind of awful to be relegated to be a lunch lady. Like, you might have lunch lady face. What if they have lunch lady face? What if you are born with a little beard?
Yeah.
And you're kind of, you know, frumpy, and your only job can be a lunch lady.
That's not the kind of America I want to live in.
That's not the kind of America.
What, what, were there any hot janitors?
No, there was hot toll booth chicks, because I was riding the toll booths too.
Oh yeah.
So I used to clean the toll booths, and there was like some cutie toll booth chicks I used to mess with.
I almost
had sex with a Muslim one, like a Muslim toll booth chick. She was cute.
What do you mean?
Her name was Nifa. I'll never forget.
How?
I just kept, you know, coming over there, cleaning the booth, staying extra long, talking to her. Yeah. You know, how to do, miss. Hi, Nifa. Did buy that, right?
Yeah.
She had a little smock on with the glass. She was cute. And then, you know, push comes to shove. You know, I never got all the way because, we, you know, her parents was always her parents was always home.
Oh, you went out with her?
Yeah. And then she came to my apartment a few times, but it just never happened.
What do you mean? Did you make out?
And the smock was the thing. Oh, that's right. Wait.
What smock?
We had a thing. No, I took her to Connecticut to a show. That's when it happened. Yeah, so never mind.
Oh, really? Yeah. She saw you on stage, and that was it.
Oversauce. And I was talking to a bunch of Connecticut college kids that didn't want nothing to do with me. Did an hour and 15 minutes, smashed. Yeah, it was over.
And then Nefa was in after that.
She was in. She was like, ah,
fuck my heritage. It does not matter to me any longer.
Funny, man.
Yeah.
Swag came through.
Do you ever want to hook up in one of those toll booths?
Nah, that would have been fly.
That is so public.
You would have to get on the floor. Yeah, it was during the day, though.
You'd have to get on the floor.
Yeah, otherwise, anybody going by. Dude, it's so small in there. Like, it might have been as big, as the from the fridge to that cabinet. That's how big
really?
The toll booth was.
That's plenty of room.
But no, there was trash cans, chairs, registers, and all that shit. It was packed in with all this goofy shit. And not to mention, motherfuckers is doing 30 miles an hour by
you. Are those air-conditioned?
Yeah, they have to be. They would die
so
in
hot. Yeah.
Or they'll have to bring their own little fan, some of them, the old school ones, because they had some that was the tax money discipline. The other ones, they didn't, like, when they did the little part-time toll booth girls, they put them in the shittiest booth.
Yeah, in the old days, they didn't have air conditioners in toll booth. 35 years ago, there's no way they had air
conditioners. And they put them in the booth all the way down the lane. You'd be like, dang, the one that's, it's like a 9-lane booth, and you got to go, and I got to go cross all them lanes to go sweep it out.
Is that
how
they do it?
Goddamn.
Walkway on top or anything?
Nah. Sometimes I had a bottom joint, but nah. When it was
what do you mean
parkway,
a bottom joint? Where's the bottom joint?
On the New Jersey Turnpike, they was more high tech. So there was always a basement you could go and then go up to the booth that way. But on the Garden State Parkway, that's the sister highway. They didn't give. That's the stepchild highway. Man, that was the cheapest setup. I just had to put on a vest and count. Oh, with a broom in my hand as the car was coming and jumped the lane, sweep the lane out. And it was like double dutch. It was crazy.
Wow. Well, it was
I did so much goofy shit on them jobs. I used to lay cones down in the street when it was an accident.
Why? So you could mop up the accident?
Not
What was your best tool? What were you best at? What were you the best at? Mopping, brooming?
What was I the best at?
Sweeping, mopping, or what else is there? What are the big...
I was the best. They used to say... What did they used to say? I was the best at cleaning the back of the toilet.
You got in there?
Yeah, I used to... Because all you got to do is just mop it out.
Mop the toilet?
Never got on my knees. Never did that.
You'd mop the toilet?
Yeah, I just mopped the bottom. And mad bleach. All I used was bleach. If you use bleach, everybody thinks you're cleaning something. I'm telling you, I never did nothing. I would mop the floor with bleach and then mop the toilets, right? And then dry them off like I would have like another kind of stick with like a dry, like a paper towel. And I'd dry them off and then go chill. Everybody's like, it smells so clean in here. Like back in the day, dude, I got away with everything
when it was
with
illegal,
bleach.
Use bleach all the time.
I just use bleach all the time. Writing that down.
Back in the day when it was all legal.
Dude, I just used bleach. This was before everything went green. Like, they had the green products, but all the people that ran the toll booths that was black, it was like, clean like we did back in the day, use bleach, because I don't like the smell of this garbage or whatever. And I'm like, all right, I'll use bleach, no biggie. So I used to use bleach and water. And they would think, they thought
did you get
I was...
Did off the bleach?
Nah, I wouldn't, because I would be in a good area where I could breathe. But nah, I'm telling you, man, I thought I was Mr. Clean because they smelled bleach, but I did dick at them jobs. I did nothing.
Let me ask you a question. Are you cleaning your home?
Yeah, I'm cleaning my home. It's my home.
Where do you live?
I live in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
With who?
I got two roommates. I got my homegirl, Amanda. No, I'm not sleeping with her. She's a friend of mine. And one of my boys is like, he's like, she's a sister to me. Don't taint her. I'm like, all right. And then my boy, Matt, and they're both from PA, and they moved up here to be.
And Matt, you are hooking up with?
I'm not hooking up with Matt.
Well, why didn't you go out of your way to say that you weren't hooking up with Matt?
Because that's implied. I'm not hooking up with Matt.
It's weird. I wasn't implied by either one, but you went out of your way to say that you.
Because everybody asked, did you fuck the girl? I'm like, no. I was told not to, and she's a friend of mine.
And so
I put her in the friend zone.
And Matt are doing it.
No, me and Matt are not doing it.
Are you saying that you give it to Matt more than he gives it to you, or is it like 100% one way or the other? Hey, dude, whatever. Let's move on.
I was about to.
Yeah.
You stupid asshole. Why are you stupid?
How'd you get out of being a janitor? Did Matt say he didn't want
you know,
to?
No, I believed in myself. The whole, I said, I'm fucking this. I'm going to be a comedian.
And you quit?
And I got fired. I wanted to get fired to collect unemployment.
Fuck yeah, this is so good.
But listen, they got me on some, the reason you can't get unemployment because you have something, they made it a disease. They called it absenteeism. They made something up so they didn't have to give me the unemployment.
Oh, what?
Absenteeism. What the fuck is that? Is that a disorder? Because I used to call out all the time to do comedy shows and shit. So they wrecked.
That's why
they
said
tallied
you got fired.
Up. They tallied up all them absences, man. I was like, damn. They was like, you weren't at work enough for us to give you.
Oh.
unemployment. So
damn,
we're going to label you an absentee.
Never got unemployment?
Never got it.
Oh,
so,
dude, it's the best thing.
That
in
was
the
toughest summer of my life, dude.
Thinking you were going to get it and then not getting it.
And not get it and then had to kind of hustle. Quit, I had to hustle in comedy. I had to move back home to my mom's house and shit. It was crazy.
Oh, that must have been so nice.
It was, but coming back and forth. And then, you know, my job was then comedy. Now the hustle turned up. So, you know.
And now you're finally getting paid some.
I'm getting paid a little something. They finally
gave
me.
You're on TV, so you get $300 a week at least.
$300 a week, dude. I'm telling you. Wait a minute. No, $300 every 2 weeks. Bi-weekly pay, nigga. Bi-weekly pay.
How does MTV pay now?
What? $600 a month? I'm getting $600 a month. Ari, $600 a month. I'm in the big time.
When Renazizi was on Punk,
I'm fucking
it was
forced?
Like $700 a week. It was like $700 a week. It really was. And they're like, exposure, man. Exposure.
No.
Yeah, they're giving you nothing, are they?
No, I can't disclose, but I get paid every episode. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what it is. But then Girl Code makes actual money.
Has to.
Why?
I don't know. Because it's popular. Everybody loves that damn show. That's how Jessamay Peluso blew up.
From Girl Code. Yeah, now she went off and she's on her own.
Mm.
She's touring. She lives in
money.
L.A. She lives in L.A.
Lives in L.A. Doing her thug thizzle thing. She's killing right now. I'm like, God damn.
She got something with E.
Yeah, that too. Red carpet something. She's doing a thing.
I don't know.
Girl Code. Come on. I need
Girl Code.
I got to get on Girl Code.
Yeah, you got to get on there, man.
Yeah, man.
Do they have an MTV Girls? That's just called MTV.
That's just MTV.
Yeah.
I'm on that network. That's why I'm like, I'm not going to get the black fans. All the black people watch MTV too. They don't watch MTV.
So there's no more videos on either one, right? They don't have an MTV 3. That's Trace. That's from Mexicans.
That's the
they have that. That's Fred Frio,
MTV
right?
MTV Trace. Yeah. With the little, the TRE, with the little, with the little.
So they got to have
leaf.
Quattro would be that. But I don't know, just a video, MTV videos.
MTV videos. Just videos. They got, VH1 got VH1 Soul on cable. Channel 144. VH1 Soul. They play all the videos.
What's Soul?
The black channel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. You should have known that.
Yeah, I know. I figure. But then it was like, you said they play all the videos. I'm like, well, why Soul then?
Oh, God.
Yeah. So you never, how long did you have to work to get benefits?
I got them immediately.
You did?
Yeah. I had a weird, cool pull. I got a pastor from my church looked me out because he knew people. He was like, get him a job. And then I got a job.
That's how you got the job?
That's how I got the New Jersey Turnpike job.
Do you have to train for that? Or they'd be like,
no,
just clean shit.
I walked in. I took a drug test, passed the drug test, took a physical. And he was like, yep.
Took a physical to be a janitor?
Took a physical.
What did they make you do? Janitor. Lift up a sponge?
Oh, they made me stand up. I had to flex my neck.
Really?
I took all that. I had to take emergency masks because it was union. I had to do all that shit. Even though I was just a janitor, they was gearing me up to be a truck driver. And I'm like, why? They was like, you're going to drive salt trucks after a while. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm going
to
get out of here.
Wait, is that what happens? People move up to from
they
janitor
move up
to like...
You move up to what's the name? What was it called? I forgot what it was called, but something one.
G1?
G1. Some
shit
like that.
Government money.
And then you go, when you start driving trucks and you start, I forgot to tell you. Like, I went from janitor to like highway worker, like when it was like snowstorms. I had to stay for like 2 and 3 days to salt the sidewalks and toll booths. I had to
Why?
Shovel
Why is that
because,
your job?
Because.
That's not a janitor's job.
I had to clean the inside. I had to mop up all the salt
job.
Stains. Salt stains in the hallway.
They make you make the stains and then mop them up?
No. When dudes came in from the snow, all salted fuck out.
Well, that, the
layout,
up,
I had to clean
your
that.
Job, sure.
Yeah, but I had to go outside. I had to shovel. Oh, God. I had to lay salt down.
That does not seem like a janitor job.
But they gave me coats and all that. They gave me all that gear, though.
Gave you to have?
No, I had to give it back.
They gave you. They fucking...
They gave it to me while I had the job. I had to give everything back at the end in big old box. Big coat, overalls, boots, socks...
Was anybody fucking at work?
Nah. It was mainly dudes. And all the girls that worked there were hideous. But anyway. I'm sorry. But they were hideous. Oh, yeah. Gruesome. Gruesome girls, dude.
Arlington.
And if they weren't gruesome, they was toll booth workers. And they left. Some of them toll booth workers was bad. Like, there was like five. Like, bad chicks from, like, North Jersey. Like, you know, big door knocker earrings, big butts, stank-ass attitude, but they was cute. Oh, yeah, there was a few. When I used to go clean, I used to visit a few. Like, these chicks is kind of fun, man.
Yeah. Just gross.
Huh?
Just gross.
But, yeah, for the most part, all the truck driving chicks were awful.
Yeah, that movie Monster, where what's her name turned?
Yeah, a lot of black Charlize Theron's.
Really?
Yeah, man. Just, oh.
Like, I'll suck your dick for $8. And you're like, what? I don't know.
It wasn't no dope chicks there. It was.
What was the deal with that? She killed one of the guys who was.
Yeah,
who
she did her. So she got an Oscar for it, did she?
No, but I mean the actual girl. She probably got an Oscar for it. Charlize Theron can look gross. It's like that's
she can look dope.
That's your halfway to an Oscar already.
Yeah, she looked gross too.
Gross. Man. Like, but you gained like all the weight in the wrong places, like around the stomach.
She made herself frumpy. She made herself that factory woman front man, and that's why she got the Oscar. And then, you know,
if you change your appearance, they'll always give it to you for that.
Yeah,
like dummies.
Look at McConaughey.
Dummies.
Did he really act well, or did he just lose 100 pounds?
And what? Exactly. You lose a bunch of money. Wait, like good enough.
Yeah.
You look so different. The Man Without a Face, Mel Gibson. Did he win an Oscar for that?
Did he? I don't know. You might have looked that up.
Mel Gibson Oscar nominations. Boom. Here we go. Wikipedia, right? Okay, one. Best Picture, Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Right, that's Golden Globe. Nominated, one. Ransom, What Women Want. What?
He got nominated for What Women Want?
Apocalypto, nominated. Yeah, but for Academy Awards, he only won for Best Picture and
Which
Best
one?
Director. Best Director for Braveheart. Oh, he didn't win anything for He won the Sexist Pig Award as well. The Alliance of Women Film Journalists.
Hilarious. That's funny. That one counts a lot.
Best Actor, Mad Max 2. Academy of Science Fiction. Oh, whatever. These are all weird awards.
Oh, you know, fan-made awards.
Yeah. Wait, where's Man Without a Face? That's what I want to know. You get anything for that? Oh, he directed that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Stage. Okay, fuck this. Let's get back to talking. Man Without a Face, 1983. I saw this in Israel. Why did I think it won an award? It didn't even come close to winning anything. Yeah, man, I was way off. Sorry. Oh, which girls are hitting you up?
None.
It's so fucking catchy. As soon as I looked at something, you had to look at it too.
Yeah. Yeah, Instagram. Nothing.
Is that your new thing all the time?
Nah, I check all of them. Because, you know, I'm always promoting shows and shit. Yeah. Trying to.
What else should I ask you about being a janitor? Fuck.
I had a van. That was funny.
Really?
I had a yellow van.
Well, that seems like too much of a temptation to rape in.
No, not exactly. Where's your mind go? My mind never went to raping people in a van. Basically.
Rape van? Janitor raping you in a
but
van?
But no. You got to understand. Janitors aren't fucking evil. They're just lazy and will get off work. You know what I did with that van? I used to drive around the city of New Jersey. I used to drive around Union and find places to park to go to sleep.
Go sleep. And you never jerked off in the back of the van?
Nope.
What? Why did you not jerk off anywhere?
I'm not going to jerk off in the van. I tried to get chicks to go to the van, but it never worked because it was creepy. It was creepy.
Because they were 13.
Man. I had mops, mop buckets, paper towels, toilet paper, bleach bottles. All kinds of pink, blue, and green spray.
Things that knock a woman out.
I had you goddamn you're evil.
Yeah.
Nah. And then it was fun. And then I used to just drive to Dunkin' Donuts, flirt with the chicks at Dunkin' Donuts that didn't speak English. That was funny. You know, it was fun. I used to take that van everywhere. Suppose we can gas it for free because it was Union. So, you know, everywhere. I went everywhere. I got water ice like twice a day.
Really?
I used to go to Rita's twice a day.
Who was your boss at these places?
My boss was the guy that didn't care for the janitor. He was about his truck driver, so he'd give me some kind of goofy-ass assignment. And then when I got reported for slacking off, he tried to give me that little reprimand. Come on, man. Work harder. I'm like, yeah, you're right. And I'd go back.
And that was it?
Yeah.
Just don't pick a fight. That's a good lesson.
Union.
Just don't pick a fight.
They smack
you. You can't fire somebody from the union.
You know how long it took me to get fired from that job? 3 years. It took me 3 years.
You had to rape someone at work. And you were trying to get fired.
Yeah, I was trying. Pillow to work. Obvious pillow to the job. Yes.
You brought a pillow
to work. I brought a pillow to work.
Everybody.
And nobody gave a fuck. I was like, dang.
How much is unemployment here in New York or in New Jersey?
I don't know. It was a lot. You know, I was standing to make some crazy number, but I didn't get it.
It was $450 a week in LA when I stopped. $450 a week.
Okay.
For 26 weeks plus extensions for another 13. That means you only be without it for 13 weeks. Sometimes they give you a second extension. And every once in a while, since the recession, they'll give you 25 extra bucks. Just like, hey, sorry about the recession. Here's an extra 25. And you're like, fuck yeah, man.
Wow.
Just waiting to get another commercial.
I never in my life. See, you got people coming?
No, they do that. They just ring the buzzer so they can get in some other building.
Oh, I got you.
It's annoying. It's a little annoying.
And you're on the first floor, too.
That's why they always
going to use that first.
Why? Why first?
Because the button is right there.
They're all in the same place.
No, the button, yours is like right. It's like the first one you see.
I guess so.
See that?
Maybe it's a thing. Hold on. Let's see.
Do I got to go with you?
I don't know. Maybe we can reach. Yeah, you're good. Hold on. Yeah, just leave that there. I think you got it. Yeah. Oh, they're not there? Oh, fuck it. So she rang twice, and it wasn't even for me.
What if, like, that's a murderer, man? You just let a murderer in, yo.
She sounded Asian.
Asians could be murderers?
No, they can't. If you look at the crime stats, they show, like, the amount of, like, police killings of, like, white people and black people, and the black people is, like, you know, it's only, like, you guys, like, 18% of the country, maybe less, and you're, like, 63% of the violent crime against, you know. But then the stat nobody looks at is Asian people have had like 4 deaths by cop in the last 10 years.
Wow.
So how are they living so right?
That's a good question. Community? Because they get together. They
do.
They got a whole Chinatown.
Yeah, they don't want to like get embarrassed in front of everybody.
Hey, you know. Orthodox Jews, same shit.
Well, yeah.
They run DeKalb. They
wonder
run
how many Orthodox
that part
Jews
of
Brooklyn.
They
killed
run
by cops.
Bushwick.
What are the 5 boroughs?
Manhattan, Brooklyn, Staten Island, Queens, Bronx.
Nice. I got it finally. Queens is the last one. Yeah. Those don't see. And Harlem is not one.
No, that's Manhattan. That's just North.
What are we not talking about for the janitor stuff? I feel like I am ill prepared for this.
Come on, man.
I thought you were a school janitor more.
No, nah, I was a New Jersey Turnpike janitor.
Yeah.
I never threw sawdust, though.
You never threw sawdust? Was that your like point of pride?
Yeah, never threw sawdust. But I had to clean up people's shit, man. It was tough.
Did you know the people shit you were cleaning while you were cleaning?
No, man.
It?
And some there was one chick that had.
Someone's like, I clogged this toilet. I need you to fix it.
Like, I remember this one woman. She got a fucking gastric bypass surgery, and all the side effects. She'd take the worst shits ever, and I'd have to.
What flush for?
No, you smell it in the hallway. I had to go in there and bleach it down, man.
Because
they was like, yeah, you know what's the name. Shanice is...
You know how Margaret is.
Shanice is fucking... I'm like, damn, Shanice fucking...
Damn, Shanice, stop shitting so much.
And just because that... You know, she'd shit everything. You know, stomach all weird. So it's like...
Oh, I don't
that
know.
Shit, man. And she tried to cover it with perfume. That makes it smell even worse. When you try to cover shit up with perfume, that's like the worst thing you could do. It's like an explosion.
Because it looks like of so much smell.
Of so much smell. Like, it'd give you a headache, but you smell the shit coming through the perfume. Oh, my God, it was worse. But I had to clean that. I had to do that.
You ever take a dump upstairs at the stand?
Yeah. It's the best place ever.
Yeah, I know. But the problem is somebody tries it on the knob. They try to get in and you realize like you're going to be waiting for about 7 more minutes.
And you know you got to push that shit closed because if you don't, that they come in.
Oh, yeah. You think it's closed and it's not closed.
And you got to be like, cocaine white girls be like, ew. They come, ew. I've had people
go there to do coke for sure.
Oh, God.
When you see 2 girls going to the bathroom together.
Saturday, all them girls waiting in the
over and over again.
They in there, nose candying it up.
Blowing.
Just, I'm like, oh, these bitches is crazy. Yeah, just a stand, you know.
Yeah.
They go in there, but yeah, when they go in there 2x2, you'd be like, oh, yeah.
They fucking. When they go a lot. How long does cocaine last? I heard it 10-15 minutes.
Never do drugs.
I used to think it lasted like 6-7 hours, but that's just like all the cocaine.
I saw somebody snort cocaine. They scared the shit out of me first time I saw that.
Really? Why?
So I almost called my mom because the motherfucker. I was in Yonkers. I never forget. I was in Yonkers. I was in Yonkers doing a comedy show, and I saw the dude. He was all amped up anyway. God, you want coffee? You want any coffee? Huh? And it was like, my name's Mike Murphy. Blah, blah, blah. Like just quick mouth fucking this dude from Yonkers. And then we went up to the dude's apartment, the other guy, the booker's apartment, so I can get paid. And Mike cuts off to the side. I see him snorting cocaine off of cracked iPhone 4. I said, this shit is I said, what the fuck are we? I got to get out of here. Like, what's going on right now? This is some shady shit. And I saw it again in L.A. Scared me equally. I was like, what are y'all doing? And then people be all house parties in L.A. Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, L.A. There was coke. I remember taking somebody back like from some other party.
Uh-huh.
And then I went back to my place to get some weed because my roommate had weed.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to wake him up. I was like, Aaron, can I have some weed for my friends? And then when I got out, some guy, we had a big glass kitchen table. Uh-huh. And this guy was like, had lines. I was like, oh. He goes, oh, do you want one? And I was like, no.
No? It's that's weird, like, because every time I've seen coke snort, it's always been on a movie where the person is fucking up their life.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like, you remember on Forrest Gump when Jenny was snort coke at the disco? I was like, oh, Jenny. And then she, 2 scenes later, she's on a balcony about to fall fuck to her death. I said, yeah. Nah, man.
Like,
so I think about that shit and go, nah.
What was the weird Jenny angle in Forrest Gump? What was her deal? She was her life.
She, her dad used to touch on her.
So then she got fucked up for life because of that.
All that. And then she went out, you know, as Bobby Dylan. She was playing the guitar with her titties out and shit. And Forrest was always there when she in every phase of her goofy ass life. When she joined the Black Panthers and the fucking... when she... what was the other part? When she was stripping. She was in college.
Wasn't she a hooker for a little bit?
Yeah, some shit, like some crazy shit. No, she was when she was in college doing bad, the dude was trying to fuck in the car, and then Forrest whooped his ass. Forrest, don't do that. And then she took her back to the dorm. She touched him. He came. He didn't even do anything. And then she left him.
Sorry,
and he left
Jenny.
Him. She left him, went back out, fucked up a little bit more.
Jenny.
Jenny was fucking up the whole movie. And then this bitch has the nerve. This bitch has the nerve to call him at the end of the movie, marry me while I have AIDS and a 5-year-old that you don't know about. She's the
5-year-old that's his? No.
That was his. It was his. And she held it from him for 5 fucking years. I said, this is the most diabolical white woman ever.
Yeah. She made him marry her at the end.
Yeah. Yeah, like, marry me now. And she came to the house, what, 5 years before that. Left him with a pair of sneaks, and that's when he ran around.
Yeah. Yeah, he loved Jenny.
Because he wanted to marry me 5 years ago, and she was like, nope. And then when she got AIDS 5 years later with a kid, yeah, I'm married.
Okay.
I'm like, this is the most awful fucking movie. Oh, God.
Forrest Gump was such a rip. When you look back at it, it was just like time and place. Everyone's like, oh, it's so cool. He put him in the place of a year, you know, next to Nixon. But then you realize that was the same year as Pulp Fiction, and it won all the awards over Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction was great.
Pulp Fiction was a classic.
Pulp Fiction was an all-time classic. Great movie, man.
The directing, the story, the movie itself.
Yeah.
And then all they wanted was like a screenwriter award.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I remember Tarantino getting it because he knew. He goes like, you know, you could tell what's going to win. And he goes, this is the only one I'm going to win tonight, so I guess I should get everything out of the way. And he thanked whoever.
Yeah.
But it was like, come on, man. Forrest Gump over Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Forrest was...
Looking back, that Academy sucks. They always suck. They don't have any real opinions.
Oh, man.
They never nominate fucking Girl Code for awards.
Ah, yeah. Girl Code gets an Emmy. It might happen.
Girl Code. No way. That would never happen. For sure that would never happen. How could that possibly get an Emmy?
I don't know.
Guy Code is so dumb. It's such a dumb show.
Hey, man.
I know.
All my friends get on there. It's a check. And I'll be like, I get it.
It's so dumb. Everybody I know who gets that, instead of going like, congratulations, because it is a cool thing for them. It's like, all right, some exposure, some money.
Yeah.
It's always like, you're going to do some jokes you find funny on there? You're going to help people learn about the world? What are you going to do? Like, you know, they do some good jokes. Shut up. You know they don't do any good jokes.
Oh, God, that's crazy.
Just mock them. Fuck that show. That's fine, but fuck it. What else about being a janitor?
I don't know, man.
What'd your mom think about it? I mean, where's your friends? Did your friends make fun of you?
Hey, man.
When you started comedy with those guys, they didn't mock you for being a janitor?
A janitor?
Uh-huh.
What the hell was wrong with you, man? Yeah, no.
They must have.
Of course. I got shit on for being a janitor.
Yeah.
I used to be a janitor. I was a janitor. A high-paid janitor. But the funny thing was, I made more money than they did. Which
yeah,
was funny,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It was still it was just, even though it was full-time, it was still a part-time job because I really love comedy, man, and I was only doing it just to stay in the city.
Right. Yeah, that's how it was with temp work. Where it's like, I just need something for cash.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You just got to be available at night, do open mics.
Yeah.
When you start comedy, were they calling open mics mics or still open mics?
Open mics.
They still call it open mics. Now they call them mics.
Mics.
When did that switch happen?
I don't know.
I feel like the open micers got together and be like, we need something cooler.
The open makes it like makes it so
nothing.
Like rookie.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to do this open mic at fucking. No, we got there's a mic over it.
Yeah, Mike makes it sound so much more interesting.
Yeah, Mike. Oh, Mike, huh? Nah, it's open mic. Yeah. Yeah. Motherfuckers out there working on their goofy shit. I remember I was in that same lane.
Did you have crazy people like smashing like meatballs against their chest and like doing crazy shit? Like old people were doing up for like 40 years.
I had
years.
Weirdos in Philly. There was a lot of weirdos in Philly at the open mics. Jake Cat Credo, that's one of the funniest guys, man, because he was weird.
I went to a black
Diamond Dick.
What did he do?
It was a lot. Just these awful, just these hacky comics used to get on with these weird.
We know a girl,
acts.
Ziggy. She would do the same. She would do impressions, but of people like 40 years before. And we're like, Ziggy, nobody knows what these people sound like. You're just like, I don't know.
It's just, outdated.
The girl from like The Wizard of Oz.
Dated impressions?
Yeah. It was like, what?
Who? Judy Garland?
Yeah, Judy Garland. It's like, remember?
Who
would I don't know.
You
I sort of remember
Judy
what she
Garland
sounds
on Def Jam?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to do a Judy Garland impression. Oh, we got to get the fuck out of here.
Somewhere over the
if
rainbow.
I was a civilian audience member,
yeah,
I'm like, she said she's about to do a Judy Garland impression. We got to get the fuck out of here.
We would have guys that do the same act, same 3 minutes for fucking a decade.
Yeah, man.
What did Diamond Dave do?
Diamond Dick used to do Dick. just fucking awful. I've seen so many different people.
Who was Zach? Who was jokes?
Huh?
I remember the best open mic joke, this guy.
Oh, some of the best jokes I can remember is from this guy named Kenny Ray Walker, though. Kenny Ray Walker, he was funny. He used to get on stage every, his opening act was he would always do he would come on and he would dance for 10 minutes. And he'd come on stage and do dance moves that look funny to get the crowd up. And then his banger was, he did a Stevie Wonder impression, but singing this old man. So he put on the glasses. He pulls the glasses out of his pocket. This old man, he played one.
So stupid.
He played
that's the same shit.
Knack on my thumb. That, but
nobody
that's Stevie
gives
Wonder.
A shit about Stevie Wonder.
And you would watch like, what the fuck is going on?
He would get lost.
And
in
he
it
had
too,
a whole thing. Like, he used to bow at the end, and
really?
He did that same set
exactly the same
4 years, yo.
Bow exactly the same time.
Bow, yeah. Like old school, that guy, and I used to watch him. And at first, it was entertaining, but as we kept growing, getting spots,
yeah, like,
and what's... Kenny was just still sitting there. That shit got scary after a while. Like just watching, like when we all left. Like I came back to Philly 1 year and I saw him, and he's just doing. I was like, he was like, I'm doing a show over at the VFW.
That's the worst.
And the flyer's all digitized. Like, it's a shitty flyer, bad graphics on the flyer. And I'm just like, God damn, that's some scary shit, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was the guy to get up, and we would watch him because we loved him. But it was awful, but we loved him.
Yeah.
It's Kenny Ray Walker. Like, you know, and he'd get on and do his whole, you know, old McDonald had a farm joke, but he'd use heroin. He was like, oh, McDonald has some heroin. And then he'd go, and it. And like he's, you know, he make the crowd go E I E I O, but like on the heroin joke, he nod out E I E I. Like it was just, it was so bad to watch.
Do you think he's still going right now?
Probably.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Kenny
deep
Ray
down. I remember one time we did a show in Cape May, and he was headlining, and there was no DJ, so we didn't have no music, so they didn't really cue up the system or anything. He was stumped for that first. He couldn't open
really?
With shit.
Oh, that's the
so
best.
So he just stood there and said, give it up for the band and all this shit. And fucking just
looking and waiting.
Looking, waiting, and like the crowd is watching him like, what are you doing? And I was bad at the time. I was an awful comic, but I knew I was better than what the fuck was going on. I was like, you can't. It was just God. Oh, man, I was like 21, too. I was 21. I was like my second year of comedy. No, my first year for like a year and a half of comedy. Oh, God, it was just so awful to watch. But you see them guys and go, I can't do that. And then if they had like a weird gimmick or some shit, like you stayed away from that.
Then they would.
And then I went to New York, got, you know, I fell off, you know, I got kicked in the ass for, what, 6 years? And then, you know, and now, I'm telling jokes at clubs and shit.
That's cool. You're starting on the road now, huh?
Hopefully, after I film this season of Broke-Ass Game Show.
What is it? You got a different show, too, right? Broke-Ass Game Show and another one?
Yeah, AOL Connected. But that's like in the final round. Like, we're going to do one more promo tour, like a bus tour through Manhattan.
Bus tour of what?
on a show. Just
the AOL Connected.
Yeah,
that's
so
a sitcom.
No, it's a docuseries. Oh. It's a 22-minute docuseries where six people take handheld cameras and film their life, and then Morgan Spurlock's people cuts it up and makes it a show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That show was good, Super Size Me, but I don't know if he's done anything really solid since then.
The best something ever sold, the best product ever sold, or the greatest product ever sold, that was a good product placement. That
I like the weak thing he did for FX. Like it was like live like a something for a week.
Yeah.
But like
Spurlock,
I don't know if it was good or if I just already liked him. And I'm like, cool, let me see what you're doing. Like I don't remember watching any of those. I just thought the idea was cool.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, that's good.
Real cool dude.
Well, that's all right. I like outsiders getting in. You know, some guy does his own shit, supersize me, and then
yeah, now he's like the dude. Now he's the docu dude. Like it's him and Mike Meyer. Mike, what's the dude?
Yeah, but that guy's
Michael Mann or whatever.
Mike who?
Mike, who's the guy? The fat guy.
Yeah, the fat guy.
Michael
Winslow?
Michael Moore.
Michael Moore. Yeah, he's a liar though. He lies through his cutting.
Oh shit! Yeah. I've heard about that.
Yeah, he'll choose what to show, what not to show. Like, he'll go to, like, look in Canada, all the doors open. He'll try, like, two doors and, like, see how they're all open? There's 9 doors that he found were locked. And I go, see? And it's like, what do you mean? You have proof that shows the opposite. Shit. You're lying.
So, through 11 doors, 2 are open. That's the 2 we go
to. You got all the congressmen leaving, congressmen or senators or whatever leaving, you know, the Hill. Yeah. And he's like, would you send your son to war, you know, if you're voting for war? And, like, a few of them are like, yeah, my son's over there right now. And he's like, well, we're not going to be showing that. Because that doesn't prove what I want it to prove. And it's like,
yeah, you can't do that. That's
documentary. Document what's going on.
Documentary.
But he does, and everyone respects him. I mean, damn. He made Bowling for Columbine make it seem like the problem with gun violence in Los Angeles was because the hood couldn't see the Hollywood sign. And it's like, what? Because of small, it was like, what is your point? You just end up hating the guy from fucking Ten Commandments. You're like, yeah, he did it. Like, he made no offers to any sort of, like, solution. He just, like, saying we have a little more guns than people. God, it was terrible. Showing a few stories.
Just
everyone's like, rah, rah, rah. It's like, fuck you. I wouldn't even watch Fahrenheit 9/11 after that one.
Yeah. Like, just a lot of barking, huh?
Yeah.
No bite and shit.
Fuck that.
It wasn't that thought-provoking, that's what you're saying?
I just thought it was like, I can see what you're trying to push me into a way of thinking. It'll work. But you got to be careful. So I'm just like, I won't watch you anymore. You're a trickster. You're a liar. Why would I listen to a liar anymore?
You sell snake oil, sir.
Yeah.
Get up out of here.
So you're like, this one might be good. It's like, this might be good, but it's probably going to be more snake oil. Yeah, fuck that. Stay away from that lying shit.
Fuck snake oil dealers. Anyway.
I mean, unless you're looking for a nice, like, bronzer, you know? Good snake oil to, like, help you, like, catch some rays, maybe. I don't know. There might be something good for snake oil, right?
Ah, shit.
What is your regrets from being a janitor? What did you wish you would have done or not enjoyed? What was the worst parts about
it? Be real. I wish I would have smoked weed when I was at that job.
Yeah, that would be cool, right?
But I didn't. I was just sober all the time.
Did you smoke weed at all back then?
Nah.
Okay. What got you smoking pot?
Pete Davidson.
Pete did? Really? You got your mushrooms too, huh?
Nah. I didn't. I took shrooms with my other buddies, and we did it like on Columbus Circle, 59th Street.
Did it really?
So fun.
Wow.
It was fun. The building came alive. Oh, it was crazy.
And then you go to the park right there, too.
Yeah,
right?
We was in the park. So we took shrooms and we smoked some weed on a rock. And then about 20 minutes later, we just start laughing.
Boom. You smoked on a rock right there by Columbus Circle?
Yeah, in Central Park.
How far in do you go?
Like, we was in.
Deep.
Couple benches, couple lights up. We was up a hill.
Okay.
Looking at the.
Okay, how do you smoke pot in Central Park? You got to go kind of away from everybody.
You
got to
be away.
You got to kind of all look around you and really do it.
See where cops is rolling, and then you got to kind of. Yeah, it's weird.
I was smoking today by the pier or whatever, by one of the ocean side, whatever,
yeah.
Riverfront, and we were walking up, and some like worker was on like one of those cat trucks walking by, and he smelled it. He goes, "Hey, you're a block away from one police plaza." And I'm like, "Thank you, sir." And I just turned to the right.
Yeah.
It was like, good call.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, you got to be very stealthy.
Did anybody ever for real get arrested though for weed in New York? Any comic
I have
that
yet
we know?
To hear. Not any comic, no. Never. I know a lot of comics.
And we all smoke pot on the streets all the time.
Smoke the wacky tobacco. And yeah, y'all. Shit. All y'all smoke weed in front of the stand. There's a police station 2 feet away.
No, that's a police training station.
Oh, shit. Yeah, they can't do anything.
Yeah.
They be walking around with their nightsticks and bags full of hate.
Yeah. Just as soon as I get my fucking badge, I'm coming back here.
Like, I see it in the eyes. Like, I can't wait to kill black people.
Oppress.
I can't wait to kill some black. I can't wait to choke out some black folk. Like,
that's their first thing.
You see it in the eyes. You're like, oh.
That's their first, yeah.
It's like dogs in cages. Like, you see them like. And we just steak. Like, black people walking around like steak for these new cops and training. Like, I can't wait to break out this cage and tear that fucking steak. It's just like, damn. They ain't never gonna like us, Ari. They gonna fucking like us.
Yeah.
Let's sniff out that fucking racism. They ain't gonna never like us. We ain't
What's
do
to
shit.
Like? I mean, honestly.
Ouch.
Sorry. You can't blame it all on the cops. I mean.
No, well, you know. You can't blame it all on us either.
That's partially your fault.
It's partially the cops' fault.
Yeah.
So we all in the same fucked up boat.
Maybe I think black people are more attracted to lead. And so they're like the bullets find them. Are they even made of lead anymore? No.
Did you say the black people are attracted to lead?
Yeah.
Or lead is attracted to black people. Ari Shaffir, you need to stop smoking weed.
I don't know, man. It's a good theory.
What the fuck is in that mohawk head of
yours? Are you proving it wrong?
I see the mohawk growing back, too.
I know.
It's turning into a regular.
No, it's been a regular haircut. I got to get it done. I thought I could go 3 weeks. It's been. Tomorrow is 2 weeks. So I got to do this way more than every I got to do this every week.
Yeah, man. If you're trying to maintain the.
Do you think I can do it myself?
The buzz.
Or should I not even try?
Just go to the barbershop.
Okay, this is what black people know more than white people.
Yeah.
About upkeep of a haircut.
Yeah.
The guy was like, how often do you get a haircut? I'm like, dude, every 6-8 months.
No.
He goes, no.
Black people get haircuts every week and a half.
Week and a half to get those like fades? Exactly.
You got
to
be sharp, man. I'm due one.
So how much do they cost, though?
I don't know, $10 to $15, depending on where you go. And then if you get a whole haircut, that could be 22 to like 30. And depends on the barber. Like if the barber's popular, charge anything you want. Because then now he got a line, he got a wait list.
Just for this?
No, you should be like that. How you trying to get it? You trying to get it like black kind of cut like us?
Nothing where, here, faded into the beard. Faded, and you saw it the first week.
Yeah.
And just stripped
nothing
in the middle.
Nothing there, faded into the beard. You want some fancy shit? Do you want a nice line with the beard?
Yeah, a nice line went up, you know.
Oh, yeah, you want the fucking... Yeah.
He used the razor on that. He took the razor and like really cut it right.
Yeah.
So
week
how
and a half or 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
That's like every 2 week thing. If you're trying to be that sharp.
But this has been 2 weeks, and that's too long already.
Yeah, so...
It's been 13 days.
Week and a half.
Every 10 days, I got to go back.
Yep. 10 days. You want to maintain the cool cut.
Yeah.
Now you just look like a out of work MMA fighter and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You can't even tell. You can't even tell really from certain angles, right? A little bit.
Yeah, it's growing back. You cut it where you want. If you want the mohawk, because right now it just looks like regular. Like I'm looking at you, kind of almost looks like a regular haircut.
Damn.
Yeah.
Two weeks. Fuck. I gotta do every 9 to 10 days. Damn it. Fuck. All right.
You gotta get the. Hey man, let me get the shape up.
Shape
and
up.
And the fade.
Yeah. All right, Derek, where can people find you if they want to find you?
On Instagram at The Great Boy, Facebook.
Love that Instagram. That's where you're hitting first. Before
shit.
Facebook and before Twitter.
Instagram, boy, because I do videos on Instagram.
The
love
great
them.
One?
The Great Boy.
The Great Boy. B-O-I?
B-O-Y.
Oh, that's really like throwing in the face of all what black people have struggled for.
Yeah, I don't misspell shit. I just spell it the way it
what
needs
is
to be
that
spelled.
Thing with black people intentionally misspelling and using Z's instead of S's and
cool.
Like
it's
double
the,
X's?
It's the way, man.
What is that? That's not an explanation.
Hood
anyway.
Literature, man.
What?
It's hood literature. It's hood grammar.
It's contrarian. It's just trying
hood
to be grammar.
No, it's been like that, though.
I know, but where did it come
it's
from?
It's been like that from the 80s.
I know, but where did it come from?
Street culture. Just
boy.
Dancing and
boy.
Graffiti.
We already have B-O-Y. Nah, B-O-I.
What up, boy? Boy, boy.
Boy. Boy.
What's up, boy?
Yeah. Boy.
My dad said that. What's up, boy?
Yeah. I love that. Boy. It's B-W-A.
What's boy. Up, boy? Ain't nothing to a dead boy. Yeah. That's my shit. I love that. But no.
Great boy.
The street culture is, you know, hip hop culture. Hip hop culture.
I guess so. All you blacks have a great scene.
Yeah, we do.
The fucking click, the black click.
Dave. Oh, yeah. Us,
you,
the 6-1-0. 6-1-0. I'll name them all.
Monroe.
It's Monroe.
Pete.
No, Pete's not in it. But Pete
was. He was just got too big.
No, he was just hanging with us. He was a good associate. No. Let me say it was Monroe, Chris. Dave, me.
Who's, right, who's Dave? Who's Dave?
Dave Temple. You know Dave Temple, big guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Minuin,
wait,
Reggie.
Wait, who's that?
Wait, so, wait, it's Monroe, me,
Chris.
Dave, Chris Cotton, Minuin Hart.
Wait, who's Minuin Hart?
It's another one of the guys that
one
runs
of the blacks?
From Atlanta. Yeah,
okay.
One of the black guys from us. Reggie. Reggie Conquest. Tom.
Reggie and Chris Cotton. I get them mixed up a lot.
Yeah, because they're both big guys. But yeah, they're two different guys. Yeah. One has a speech impediment, the other one doesn't.
Which one has a speech impediment?
Chris.
Chris is the married one too, right?
Yeah, that's
right. Okay.
Tom, Foley.
Tom is white?
Tom is white. Foley's white. Ian's white. Siobhan. And Kippy. And Kip Ryan. And Kevin Ryan.
That sounds like a lot of whites at the end there.
Oh, yeah. It's a good blended group. Oh, and Chloe and Suba.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Suba's part of your group now?
Suba's in the group, yeah. She's wow. our... She's
and
our,
then what's her name? Yamanika's kind of with you guys, too.
Yamanika kind of fucks with us. Yeah. She's like the... She's like our go-to ace in the hole.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's like she's our lion. She's an ally.
I call you guys the Blacks. I love it. You're so close. And they're like, you just go from spot to spot or end up together,
right?
It's
my squad right there.
You always
there.
Hang out at the cellar the late
team.
At night.
The 6 foot nothing clan. Yeah, it's us.
6 foot nothings?
Yeah, the 6 foot nothing. Basically, it started with me. It was me. The original 6 foot nothing is Monroe, Dave, me, and Chris. Because Chris was...
And then Pete just hangs with you guys a lot?
Pete did. He don't do it anymore. He don't hang with us no more.
No, he's hanging with celebrities.
He's hanging with celebrities. The dude is friends with Bieber. He ain't got time.
Stupid. Anyway, he was so
excited.
Love
Pete Davis. That's my young boy. That's my little bro.
He had some weed, and he was all like, look. I'm like, how are you still bragging that you found weed? And like, you've been smoking pot for like 5 years now. You're like, look what I found. I got some. Like, all right, man. Fucking calm down. You want to smoke some pot?
Sure.
Okay, so that Instagram, are you going to be anywhere? You got any shows coming up?
I got a show tonight. I got the 140 spot at the cellar.
No, no, no. What's that? Are you trying out?
Do you get I'm passed.
Dude, she didn't give me any spots this week.
I'm passed,
but
no.
I'm on the way out.
I'm getting the young boy spots, all the late.
That's good. So that's what Ricky, that's what I would get, only late night.
Yeah.
Only the last part. But I don't mind because I can do spots everywhere else and then end up there.
140, I can hang out tonight and then go do the spot.
First spot of the night at 140, that's kind of weird.
No,
you
can
have
first.
A whole evening, I guess.
Well, no, my first spot at I'm gonna try to spot. I'm gonna jump around. I'll go to the stand, see if I can get some time.
Oh, really?
Just fuck around.
On a Friday night, you're gonna be able to just jump up.
No. Well, I'm getting good. Like after season two comes out, maybe I'll be able to do that.
No, you can't. Don't even do it. Calling for spots, and they'll give you what they give you.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You're gonna fucking push in. You're waiting.
I'm not gonna bump
low
anybody.
Level of fame of season two of a goddamn MTV show.
Yeah, you're right. Low level
bumping your colleagues.
Nah, I can't. I would never bump my colleagues.
You're
only
just talking about it.
No, listen. I would only bump people I didn't know. But I would never do over seven. I would always do seven. I would never be on some Dave Chappelle shit. Do 4 5 hours.
So lame.
5 goddamn hours. Like it's not like that. So
it's lame as fuck. It's lame as fuck, especially when you know you're going to come in. It's like, call in. Even if you got big enough, even if you actually got legit big, and you wanted to go into the stand right now, you would have to like call them and be like, hey, I'm going to be coming in.
Yeah.
So then you have to call all the people. Like, just so you know,
I just get the spots that I get. I'm riding the wave right now. It's fun. But I go back to work for Broke Ass Game Show Monday.
So. Oh, that sounds exciting. What's the point of Broke Ass Game Show? You give them like $100 to do some shit? Those
just
are fun.
Do funny shit
Those
in the streets,
fun.
Yeah.
I don't mind
it's
that.
New Yorkers being stupid. It's fun.
That's the part of MTV that's like, this is fine. It's not taking itself too seriously.
Yeah, it's a fun, simple process.
Go Code and Guy Code, they take themselves too seriously.
You're not going to pull me into this because I have so many friends on that show.
Yeah, me too. I make fun of them on this podcast when they're on guests on the podcast.
Yeah, it's the Talking Head show, man. It is. I'm actually glad I didn't get it, but...
I tried out for Best Week Ever when they redid that.
I
was so dark.
So did I. And they didn't like my
show. They were
show.
Like, talk about the girl with the other girl coming out of her belly, you know? And I was like, there is no God. I talked to my rabbi about whether or not there's a God, and now
Why?
He says, I
Stop
agree
making
you,
shit awkward, you goofball. Oh, shit.
To me,
so
that's
funny.
The funnier way to go with it than like...
But I take that. That's just
company,
stand-up.
Indeed.
That should take. I've watched the set. It's a wonderful way to ruffle feathers. I'll be like, God damn, why is he doing this? But it's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Ruffle feathers. Everyone's going to get somebody like really upset while other people are laughing.
Ruffle that's feathers. That's always fun.
I'm a troublemaker.
When I see groups getting ruffled, it's so funny. It's funny to watch people's feathers get ruffled.
When they're ruffled.
Damn.
Oh.
Gary Goldman does it. You do it. Who else goes good? They go in a little bit, and I'd be like, Drew Michael, a little bit. You know Drew?
Drew Michael, yeah.
Drew Michael ruffles the fuck out of feathers. I'd be like, damn, Drew. He has this joke about his mom. Like, maybe I should have fucked my mom to beat her more. I was like, this is fucking crazy. Like, me and him did Levity. He floored Levity one night with that shit. I was back there dying laughing. I was like, this is funny. It's good. But the crowd, man, crowds don't understand this shit sometimes.
Well, they're just like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, I mean, laugh. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
just
it might be based on serious. It might not be. But the point is for you not to take it too seriously
and
just laugh.
Yeah, I like motherfuckers that don't do the shallow shit. Give me some. Yeah. That's some below the surface.
Metzger started a joke the other day. I was in the back with one of the bouncers. I forget. And he started it with like something like, "Yeah, a lot of people die this year. My aunt died of suicide." And he was like, "How do you start a joke this
Metzger
way?"
Metzger is a
my
genius.
Aunt died of suicide
but
this
Metzger
year.
Metzger is a he's God. Goofy in the brain.
I know.
Everybody
like,
loves
that's
Kurt.
How he's beginning the joke.
That's Metzger, Woo. Man. It's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the joke. It pains me to laugh, but he was like, "Man, what happened to taking care of our good old white kids?" Or that joke about how,
yeah,
that shit makes me the laugh so much.
Beautiful, pure white children.
I'd be like, "What the fuck?"
He goes when he said he moved into an all Mexican, all Dominican or all Latin building, yeah. And he was like, "People said, do I feel no? They're lucky to have me. They're lucky to have my whiteness." The hot water was out, and I called the white 311. Like, "Would you leave your name?" Yes, I would.
Oh shit! Metzger is
my name is Curtis Tiberius Metzger, and I am white, and I have no hot water. Yeah.
Kurt, funny man.
Yeah.
Kurt, funny. Oh man, but those are the greats. I love them guys. They're the new. The new
greats.
New minds.
Yeah, me and Natasha came on a trip out here once to New York and went to the cellar a couple times and like saw like, wow, look who's like the big guys. And like, if it was what I was like 3 years in and I'm coming now to the cellar, I mean, Metzger's. Like,
Metzger's, yeah.
That's one of those guys. We're like, wow.
Metzger's
that's
good.
Like,
even like, damn, Kurt. Like, I've sat and watched Kurt like, what the
fuck? Yeah, you can watch.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
He's trying to say now that who's the guy that ate people?
Dahmer.
Yeah. Jeffrey Dahmer is in heaven, and I'm not. I was hosting a show. He goes, "Oh, yeah, you didn't know that? He repented. But Ari's a Jew. He'll never be able to go to heaven." But Jeffrey Dahmer, yeah, that's your rules, you guys. He goes, "That's your rules." He's in heaven, and Ari never will be able to.
Oh, goddamn.
No matter what he does.
Yeah. The religious strictures are very funny.
Yeah. All right. Let's smoke reefer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then let you go try to fucking bump.
I'm not going to bump. No. I got my one spot.
I'm going to Adele before you get there. I'm like, don't you fucking let this asshole start to get a big head because of his goddamn cable channel show. It comes with cable. Shut up. You don't get the option for MTV. Fucking.
Oh, shit.
You're the TV of equivalent of a flyer under the door.
I know, right?
MTV. I mean, it's cool and all, but.
I got to. That's like just having a Friday night party at a VFW in Jersey.
Yeah.
And that's all I really got. He hosts a killer party Friday nights at Berlin, New Jersey at the VFW.
You're not going on the road anywhere soon?
Nah, I'm not. I ain't on the road till. I'm doing Laugh Boston. Boston, July 25th and 26th, I think.
There you go. 25th and 26th.
So whatever the 5th and 6th.
If you're
whatever
right up
weekend
there,
that is, that, just the 20, that later 20 weekend, I'm doing it.
Okay.
Me and my boy Tom Cassidy.
Tom who?
Tom Cassidy.
Is he one of the blacks?
One of the whites.
In the blacks?
In the blacks, yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of the whites in the black crew.
That's cool. What do you call yourself? The under the
6 foot
unders.
Nothing.
6 foot nothing. I like calling you the blacks. Here's money.
Oh. Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Didn't know it was one of these. I knew for sure this was free. Yeah.
You what?
I knew for sure this was a free gig.
Why? Now let's get racist.
But it's like, yeah, I've done podcasts, never in a billion, but that's Ari Shaffir getting money.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a new day. Comics are worth
somebody getting money. Good for Ari Shaffir. Paid regular, ladies and gentlemen. Paid regular.
That's right. You guys, for real. If you haven't gotten my special, Paid Regular, it's available right now online. Just
there
go to
go.
AriShaffir.com.
Paid Regular.
It's right on top.
Of the cartoon. It's nice.
It's my special. You get all the fucking bonus shit. There's a Q&A we do at the Comedy Store. Well, I mean, come on, you guys. Fucking $5. Get the goddamn special. If you haven't gotten it, it's fucking uncouth to brag.
Uncouth.
It was so
good
long
word.
Ago, but like, it's been a
uncouth.
Few months.
Uncouth.
Go ahead. Go get it. It's my last special. I did it 5-6 months ago.
Dope.
Still relevant. Derek Gaines, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
I'm so glad that I know you're not Monroe Martin now. Did you get a nice fancy hat like he did too?
Yep, got one. I'm about to get a second one too.
You guys, I love the new money, you guys, version of like, I'm going to show that I fucking belong. And Monroe's got like a suit and a hat. And it's like,
yeah,
he looks okay
do,
with it.
Man.
You both look okay with it.
We're
but it's
still
just like,
black. We're good. We're mainstream black, but we're still black. We're going to do black
thank
shit.
Thank God you're going that way instead of like crowns or something.
Hat sneaks.
That's okay. Oh,
new
yeah,
jokes.
Sneakers. You guys are all
our,
sneakers.
Our sneaker competition is great. I think Monroe's beating me by like 2 pair right now.
Really?
So it's like, yep, And it's just like, we just keep working because we know we're not paid.
I love when I saw you guys, like one of you guys would get like, who's the real tall black in the blacks?
That's Dave.
That's Dave.
Yeah.
And he got some. And you guys were all just mocking him. And he was like, fuck. You could see it, like the feet building. Yeah. He was like, I thought these were cool. No. And everybody's hitting me.
Everybody gets whippings.
Yeah.
Because Keith Robinson is he's the gatekeeper. He's the ringleader of the group.
I would say he's like the father of the group.
The father really of the group.
Great grandfather.
But he's like the great grandfather of all the black meat, all the black comics.
I wore
don't want to do the chitlin' circuit no more.
A gray suit. And I came in. I was like, hey, have you seen Steve? And he goes, no. Come over. Come take your whipping. I was like, oh, come on. I have to go. I'm like, no, you have to go in a minute.
You're going to get
beat. At first,
you're
you have to take
your... You're going to take a beating. Your beating is going to happen.
You're going to take a beating. That's what we do. We lend out beatings. Ass whoopings.
And he's like, never wear that again. I'm like, I'm going to wear it again. I thought it was nice before I left the apartment. I still think it is.
I remember I had a jacket they went on, sneaks that they went on for hours.
For hours.
I mean, there was one guy. I remember there was one guy that used to hang with. His name was Bart. Bart Batista. And he was just a new Jack coming out of Stand Up New York or whatever. Yeah. And he wore a sport coat one night with them goofy dipped in gold buttons.
Oh, yeah.
One of them sport jacket, one of them clubhouse.
Looks like a fucking cop.
We 2 hours. We went on him for 2 hours because it wasn't him. It was just hanging on him. And yeah. We dogged him for 2 hours. We never saw him after that again. We ripped his
left.
Ass.
Not just the suit.
He left. He never came back. He couldn't take it. We ripped on him for 2 whole hours on that jacket.
Wow.
And we just kept coming up with material,
more
like scenarios. We came up with stories, sketches about that jacket, and he couldn't take it. So the crew is the crew because we weeded out all the motherfuckers that couldn't take a beating. And we love giving motherfuckers beating. We take the beatings. It's just it's a part of the hang. That's why, you know, that's why I think, because we're always hanging out. We're always slamming each other. We're not networking. We're not out here trying to...
But that's what networking is, I just realized. Networking just means being friendly. It has such a terrible connotation when you see networking.
Because you got motherfuckers to hand out them goofy-ass business
cards. I know. But really, networking is, like, be cool with everybody. Don't try to, like, bother them with your friendship. But just be cool with everybody. Say hi to them and be nice to everybody.
You guys need a photographer? Huh? I'm a comedian from Minneapolis. Maybe when I get to...
And then it's all the funky... Everybody has a funky design that you're supposed to compliment on. I can't do it, man. Get out of here with your half a business card because it's funny. It's like a slither of paper with your number and a little goofy comedy. I do comedy face. Oh,
your card, okay.
Oh, God, I can't take it. But anyway, I'm ranting. I'm sorry. This is the end. I'm sorry.
All right, we're done.
Yeah, I know you like to bang. Yo, shit don't stay, but lean a little bit closer, see. Roses really smell like boo-boo-boo. Yeah, roses really smell like boo-boo-boo. Yeah, I know you like to bang. Yo, shit don't stain, but lean a little bit closer, see. Roses really smell like boo-boo-boo.
All right, you guys, that's the episode. Yeah, it was an okay one. It was all right. Not great. Mediocre, I'd say. Hopefully that'll be the last one in a while. It's tough doing this every Monday. It really is tough. But I'll get ahead of it. I just got to do, like, you know, 10 in a week one day. 1 week. Again, don't forget to go to get a sofa mattress at... what's the fucking website? Smartbed.com. Smartbed. Oh, nah, motherfucker. Smarterbed.com. God damn it. God damn it. Smarterbed.com. Fuck. Do I gotta do that whole intro over? No fucking way. No fucking way am I gonna do the intro over. I spoke from the heart. God. All right. Smarterbed.com. Do I have to do the whole fucking intro over? No. Maybe I'll edit it and figure out a way to do it. But anyway, go to smarterbed.com. Order yourself a bed. There's only three kinds of choose from. Soft, regular firm, very firm. And they even say, like, if that doesn't fit you, we're not for you. Move on. Same shit with me in sitcoms. Hey, I don't find this funny. More power to you. Go give it to whoever you want to give this to. It's not for me. CBS sitcoms. You guys know what I'm talking about. The straight down the middle fucking shit I find that's garbage. There's some good ones, but most of it is garbage. Most of TV is garbage. I won't be a part of it. SmarterBed.com. Get yourself a mattress. Tell them you found out about it on Punch Drunk. I mean, on podcasts when you check out. And you guys, seriously, help. Go tell all the comedians you love, the ones you love, to hit me up, hit up Comedy Central, hit up Eric Abrams, say, I want to do this show. The big comics. The big comics. Comics, I need your help. I can't reach out to you. I've gotten defeated so many times. You don't understand. If you've ever booked a show, the emails, the texts that don't get returned, it's disheartening. The people you look up to, they just don't return texts and emails. And you're like, fuck, am I bothering you? I mean, I probably am. It's hard. And I get it, they're busy. So let's reach out. Let's figure out a way. Let's figure out a way to work around your schedule. I will help you. I've been doing this for a while. If you're all worried about not preparing well enough, I helped C. Ren Azizi. I helped Joey Diaz. It's not me coaching them through it. It's just I've been doing these stories for 5 years. I've learned from the best. I've watched Marc Maron tell fucking killer stories. I've watched Joey Diaz tell killer stories. I've learned from observing. That's what Mitzi Shore put us in the door for, so we could learn from watching. So I've learned, and I'll help you through it. I talked to Tripoli about this. Comedic theory, I will always talk to any comic about comedic theory. I mean, unless I really got to go, but I love talking about it. So I don't tell you, here's a joke you got to do, here, put this in. I just say, hey, this needs to go somewhere. Where is this headed? You need to find an ending. Let's try to think of an ending together. What else happened? How was this person affected in the story? I'll help you in that way. I'll help you make yourself a great story. To the big comics that are worried about. Jim Jefferies, I know he's not worried about it because he's one of the best in the world at this. All right, you guys. New York is calling. It's a beautiful day. I think I'm going to go to Coney Island. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Thank you for making Skeptic Tank such a positive part of my life. Have a good day. See you next week. Skeptic Tank 222. Mop this way. Over and out.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh, yeah. I don't want to do your dirty work no more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah.
Light the candle, put the lock upon the door. You have sent the maid home early, like a thousand times before. Like the castle in its corner, in a medieval game, I foresee terrible trouble. And I stay here just the same.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah. I don't wanna do your dirty work no more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I don't wanna do your dirty work no more.